two, three! Oh! Here he goes! Oh!
Oh! If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
B.I.G.
You're listening to a 5-hour experimental presentation. For further information, you will need to keep listening to your radio.
I can't believe all the inappropriate things I hear on the radio. I mean, I don't want my kids listening to that stuff.
First of all, how would you rate the program? Would you say it was excellent, very good, good, fair, or poor?
I think I'd give it a poor.
The next word is funny. Would you say it is very descriptive, somewhat descriptive, or not at all descriptive of the show?
No, not at all descriptive.
So what'd you do at these radio stations? On air?
I don't have what is widely considered to be an on-air personality.
Unless your local government has given you other instructions, turn on the radio.
And now.
Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. The only thing left would be radio. That's just for ugly people.
Our feature presentation.
Happy holidays and Merry Christmas and Kwanzaa and all the holidays in Taiwan.
Rodney, no.
Not just right now, Rodney, but thank you.
Yeah, it's not. Thank you, though, for the time.
You could check out my thing on MySpace.
Oh, okay. Didn't realize you had your thing on MySpace, but all right.
Wow. That's good. That was a violation of the content rules over there, isn't it?
Do that again. Man, I hate the 90s. Hey. Hey. Do that again. Hey. 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 It's Rodney here.
Yes. Who's better than Rodney? Honestly,
nobody. It's going to be sad when he dies later this year.
Oh.
If he hasn't already, because
he has already.
Well, we would have heard about it. Probably, you're right. Yeah. But I mean. No one's closer to death, right, than Rodney? Isn't he just barely hanging on?
I hope he lives forever.
I do, too.
I hope he makes a pact with the devil, and he lives forever.
I am going to be so sad the day we lose Rodney later this month, but he just...
I don't think it's going to be later this month.
How do you know, man?
Well, I'm just discussing.
He provides... I mean, I think the odds are... You know, it's like any guy who's over 100, you know, every day is a miracle. I mean, he's likely... I would say he's likely to go this year, but I'm going to be very sad when that happens, because... He's provided a lot of entertainment to us and the kids.
Yes, he has. As a matter of fact, that is going to be a sad day. Bean, you can't.
Bean what
and
now?
Mike, Bean and Mike, the first half hour of the show, they text back and forth, email back and forth. I see a text here that you say, you must see Alita today, biggest ever.
Yes. What's your question?
Well, my question is, you're talking about that Channel 4 chick?
Yeah. Channel 4 weather chick, yeah.
She does the weather. Now... Correct me if I'm wrong, Mike, but doesn't Bean claim every day that her boobs are bigger than ever? And isn't that not possible physically?
I do not at all.
He says you got to see Alita today. Unbelievable. You got to see Alita today. They're huge. Today, I think the first time he's ever
biggest
seen
ever.
The biggest ever.
But was I right, Mike?
Kevin, they are monstrous. And she might as well not wear a top. She should just tattoo a shirt on her body.
Well, I think that would be fine, too.
It's that
That's
tight.
How tight it is.
She
yeah.
looks good. Don't get me wrong. She looks good. But I think, you know, biggest ever seems like she's changing boob size. And I don't think she is.
She could be. It could be that, you know, a good time of the month for her boobs. I don't know. But I will tell you that she's wearing some sort of weird bra contraption then maybe, or she somehow has tried to stuff herself into a double extra small shirt too,
well, I think
is what's going on today.
I think that should be required of all people that are on television.
She's unbelievable, though. She needs to do traffic or news or something on our show. That's all there is to it. She shouldn't be on TV. She should be on radio.
So people couldn't see her?
So that
what's wrong with you?
So that we could see her all the time. That's why.
Yeah.
But you have to put Channel 4 on. You have to see her today. That's all there is to it.
I will.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have a question for you, too, if there's time.
Sure.
What's up with...
I can ride my bike with no handlebars.
Yeah.
No handlebars. No handlebars.
The guy can ride his bike.
No I can ride my bike with no handlebars.
The
no handlebars.
The Flowbots, I guess.
No handlebars.
Apparently the most requested song here on K-Rock.
Look at me, hands in the air like it's good to be alive, and I'm a famous rapper.
What's up with the Flowbots? Explain that to me. Mike, you're down with the pop music and the kids. What's going on with this?
I suspect that every once in a while.
It's a pretty cool song, don't you think?
All right, Rodney.
Kind of a up-tempo, positive song.
Yeah.
I suspect that every once in a while there's a weird kind of unique novelty-type song that just catches on with the masses, and this is it.
No metronome. You can keep music with no metronome.
Right.
Can you do that?
This was the My United States of America or the Jane Fonda of
the young
year,
folks
of this year. You know, it's the new, just weird.
It's funny, though, because if you go to YouTube and type in handlebars, you'll see the song. And this is what I love. And, Kevin, I know you hate the people that that post, you know, the message boards and the threads.
Well, it depends on what they're posting about.
But there's so much debate over this song. If it's just a simple, you know, song about a kid who can ride a bike with no handlebars, or if it's the possibilities of the, you know, the human race. There are people who are convinced that it's an indictment of U.S. foreign policy. I mean, it just goes on and on with all the interpretations of the Flobots.
I don't think I would. I don't think I would come down on the onion theory, the multi-layer. They mean a lot of different things by it. I think the kid can ride a bike with no handlebars.
Well, they're convinced it has to do with, you know, averting nuclear war, and it just goes on and on and on. But you ought to check it out. And I think we have it up at KROQ.com, too, I'm pretty sure. But anyway, Flobots, Handlebars is the song. So please enjoy.
You know what? We might need to go through that. We might need to take calls and ask people, you know, what do you think it means? Because it really is ridiculous, all of the different people that come and say, you know what? That is an allegory for.
That's right. That's there's your global warming story right there. Right. In three simple minutes. You can't miss it.
Yeah, I think the kid's just riding with no handlebars. That's just my guess, though.
Freaking Flobots.
Yeah, it's taken over the world. It's a song like that, usually, too, that gets people's attention.
That's right.
Because most of the time we could play whatever song, and a few people call that like it, a few people call that don't. This song, for some reason, just everybody stops and pays attention to it.
Yeah, well, you have to have an opinion on it.
Yeah. So, our opinion is, come on. That's our opinion. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday, the 27th of March. Bow, bow. Got a great show for you today.
Yes, got a busy show for you today.
Frank McCourt, owner of the Dodgers.
How about that?
On the program, talking about the Dodgers versus the Red Sox. That's this weekend, right?
Yeah, Saturday. Saturday. Well, how many games are they playing all together, Mike?
I think they're playing three games, but only one at the Coliseum.
Right, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You know, Frank McCourt is awesome because he, like all little boys, probably grew up dreaming of owning a sports team, yet he actually ended up doing it. There are very few people in the world who actually get the opportunity to do it. I mean, I think it's one of the things we all have on our list that we do if we ever had unlimited cash, is go out and buy ourselves a franchise. But this dude actually did it. I wonder if it's as much fun as it seems like from the outside, or if it's just nothing but a nightmare.
Almost everything. It seems like almost everything in life, when you look at it from the outside and say, how awesome would that be? And then you do it, it's like, well, there's a lot more work involved. I didn't realize it was going to. And you do have to wonder if it kind of takes the joy out of it because it's such a business.
Yeah, it's not baseball, you know, or whatever your sport is, can't be magic if now all you're worrying about is, you know, negotiating with the players union. You know,
right, or contracts, whatever. Or players that are on slumps or whatever.
Yeah, strikes, everything else. Losing money. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of downside to taking that risk. But Frank's doing a good job with the Dodgers, it seems like.
Well, I want to ask him, when did he buy the Dodgers? 5-6 years ago?
Yeah, something like that.
I want to ask him if he was aware of the baseball boogie when he bought the team and if it would have made a difference. Come on, let's rock tonight.
We're going right out of the ice. Come on. I don't think you can pin that on him.
No, I know it's not his fault, but I'm saying, is he aware of the song that the Dodgers of the 1986, I want to say, did that song? And is it a make it or break it deal? Because for me, I don't know. I saw Oral Hershiser dancing, and I
was going to say, I'll never look at Oral Hershiser the same. That's for sure. Yeah, he's no longer the bulldog that won the Cy Young in 1988 to me.
I saw him as a what do you call him?
I don't
guy that does color commentary? I saw him over the weekend, and that's all I could think about was his ridiculously gay, stupid dance. So that's we'll have to ask Frank McCourt about that along with other things. We got NCAA tournament March Madness talk. Today is the Sweet 16 begins with UCLA. And we're going to talk to Bill Plaschke from the LA Times.
I'm sure we got some Western Kentucky fans out there who are on the edge of their seats just waiting for it.
They're everywhere, aren't they?
Yep.
We have Leslie Nielsen on the program today. Now, he's an older gentleman, for those of you that don't recognize the name. He's been in a lot of comedies, usually the spoof movies. And we had a wonderful experience with him last time we talked to him. So we're going to talk to him again today about his new spoof superhero movie, which looks good to me.
Oh, come on.
It does. Well, it doesn't look good. It looks funny. I mean, there are movies like that you don't really want good. I mean, you don't really expect good. You just figure, you know what? It'll be funny. There'll be some laughs. So anyway, we'll talk to him about that today. More on the new Oliver Stone movie, W, coming up.
I still can't believe that's real.
Yeah. Why does the brown man not support Barack?
The brown man loves Hillary Clinton. That's why.
Why?
Don't know. Don't have any idea. Have no idea. She dominates with Latino voters. Barack Obama can't get any kind of traction with them. And, yeah, it's one of the mysteries. And I think Psycho Mike took the K-Rock microphones out to try to get to the bottom of that, to find out from potential Southern California voters what's up with that.
And I think he found out. He got some very interesting responses. So we'll give you that coming up. We got Tyler Labine on the program today. He plays Sock on Reaper. He's the funny fat dude. You know, sidekick, funny dude. And also Ryan Phillippe, talking about his movie Stop Loss on today's Kevin and Bean Show. And don't forget, all week we have your only way into the sold-out Eddie Vedder show. And you qualify to see Pearl Jam in New York City when you win those tickets. Today, listen between 6 and 7 o'clock. So for those of you that get up early between 6 and 7, we are going to play Black. When you hear it, be caller 20, and you will win tickets to the show.
Oh, that's a shame.
What?
Because the Latinos won't call now.
Oh.
I don't think that's a problem. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. I downloaded the new Nine Inch Nails CD, but they left the lyrics off. Somebody's going to get fired.
Wow. Oh, really? That sounds like an oversight.
Leave the vocals off of the song?
Nine Inch
Trent's
Nails
Trent's going to be mad.
That is not a small mistake.
Wow.
No.
You know what? They can maybe plug it instead.
What?
I can ride my bike without no handlebars. No handlebars.
Idea.
Was the kid from Whitney High have a new single?
Yes, they do.
Blow that song.
Really? So you like it?
No!
So you're a fan?
No!
It is, what's your take on what it means, Ralph? I was describing some of the message board theories on it.
Means we're the luckiest musicians on the planet. That's what it means. That we got this single made and played.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what it means.
Not a lot of deep meaning to Ralph. I don't think there's a lot of deep meaning either. The dude can ride a bike without his handlebars. Okay.
But don't they go on, though, and start talking about vaccinations and things like that? I mean, they do expand the lyrics out a little bit to mean other things.
I don't know anyone that's paid attention to the lyrics after the handlebar line.
Yeah, okay. My ears can't stop bleeding after that first part. So.
5:53, time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat. Aww.
Yeah.
How are you going to come at us like that, Ralph?
Goes from bad to worse.
Oh, no.
Goes from handlebars to this sad news.
Wow. Flobots aren't dead, are they?
Sadly, no. But Herb Peterson is.
Who's that?
Herb Peterson, my little friend Kevin, was the inventor of a product. Oh, nothing.
Okay.
Just called the Egg McMuffin.
What?
He's a national hero.
The 98-year-old came up with the idea for the perfect breakfast sandwich back in 1972, and he passed away this week. We'll miss you, Herb. Herb will be buried between two English muffins, some Canadian bacon, and toasted to it.
See what you did there?
Just a sure. Crispy, delicious. Herb Peterson.
This is what happens, man. You make a breakthrough like that, and then a short 35 years later, you just drop dead, just out of nowhere.
Don't mock the man.
Do not mock the man.
You know how many times the Egg McMuffin has saved my freaking life?
Yeah, hangover food?
Oh.
Drunk food? Yeah.
You power down a couple of those and a big McDonald's orange juice, and you feel like a new man.
Yeah, right? We wouldn't be here now if it wasn't for that.
Exactly. Thank you for all your kind work, Herb. You're a great man. Well, you were. Now you're dead. Richie Zambora took a flying leap off the wagon this week.
Uh-oh.
He got popped for a DUI on Tuesday night. Sadly, his 10-year-old daughter, Eva, was right along with him in the car. That's bad news.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Was she drunk, too?
Oh, Bean.
Does it say?
Bon Jovi guitarist was busted at 10:52 p.m. on Tuesday night after police saw his black Hummer weaving in and out of traffic on Pacific Coast Highway. Well, that's good, because there's a lot of room there for error on the PCH. They pulled him over, and he failed a series of sobriety tests, was arrested and booked on DUI charges, and released at 4 a.m. in the morning.
Good times.
The cop who pulled him over tells Us Weekly magazine, besides his daughter, there were two other females in the car at the time of the traffic stop, one of whom was also a juvenile.
Oh.
Thank God.
Sorry.
So his daughter, another underage girl, and then who knows how old the other one was, but that's bad. It's bad.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
Robin Williams and his wife of 19 years, Marcia, are divorcing. Irreconcilable differences is the cause. She was originally his babysitter.
That's
when he
right.
was with his first wife, Valerie.
His first marriage broke up with so he could go with his babysitter.
Yeah.
Ah, that's right.
Yeah. They have two children together now. And he also has a son from his first wife. And wouldn't it be great if he marries the current babysitter?
Yeah, it's like a farm team.
Be the best. Yeah.
It'd be like hitting the circuit.
Doesn't it seem like it would be exhausting to be married to Robin Williams?
Yes.
Oh, I don't know why you said that. Because it is. Oh, can I have the pancakes, please? Oh.
It's breakfast every morning. Who needs that? Kamari Lee Simmons and Russell Simmons. Hi. Divorce. Well,
yes.
It's not really a surprise. They haven't lived together for the past 2.5 years. But apparently it's finally official. Kamara filed documents in L.A. Superior Court yesterday. So now they're really breaking up.
Now they mean it.
This is it.
They're breaking up the crap out of that relationship.
How'd you like to hit that?
No.
Oh, I hate her.
Yeah, she's pretty
so
hateable.
Annoying. So annoying. I heard you guys talking about the Oliver Stone movie, W,
sure.
about our president, George W. Bush.
Yep.
I mentioned yesterday that Josh Brolin will be playing Dub and Elizabeth Banks playing Laura Bush. They just announced who's playing George Sr., George Herbert Walker Bush.
You're talking about this movie as if it's actually going to be made.
It is starting to film any minute now, Bean.
Dude, all right, who's playing Sr.?
Apparently Stone wants to get it out while Bush is still in office. He wants to release it.
Just as a burn?
Yes. Oh. The guy is just on
kick
fire.
A guy when he's down? Maybe?
Absolutely. James Cromwell will play G.H.W. Bush.
Oh.
You know the guy who was in Babe? Played the farmer
sure.
Babe?
Oh, tall, the skinny dude.
Guy. Yeah. And Ellen Burstyn will play Barbara Bush. Barbara Bush has never looked so good,
no.
by the way.
That's no
the,
kidding.
Played by Ellen Burstyn. So there's some more cast for that movie. I bet it's going to be just a big, a warm fuzzy, just a big love letter.
Pretty much a puff piece.
I think so.
Yeah, that's right.
Kristen Davis auctioned off a chance to be her date for the premiere of the Sex and the City movie for Oxfam, the charity for Africa.
That's cool.
$52,000 someone paid.
Wow. Dude.
For the opportunity to be her date. Apparently the bid was only up to $2,000, and then those photos of her giving a hummer showed up on the internet and apparently just skyrocketed right up to $52,000.
Yeah, I can see that.
No, it's not true. But apparently.
Well, people didn't know that was part of the date until
that's
the video
right.
came out.
I didn't know you were that much fun. And speaking of Africa, Paris Hilton and her boyfriend Benji Madden continued their African safari yesterday. Did you know they're in Africa on safari?
No.
Yes. People magazine reports the pair is camping out at the Aquila Private Game Reserve near Cape Town. Maybe it's Aquila. Anyway, they encounter lions, leopards, elephants, buffaloes, rhinos, and a cheetah so far. And they've posed with the cheetah for reporters, apparently.
You can't pose with a cheetah.
It's a tamed cheetah, apparently,
oh, okay.
that they keep around just for reporters. The people there at the Game Reserve say it's the first time they've ever seen a whore in its natural habitat. So. A lot of people taking photographs of Paris as she goes through the
You know,
game
one
reserve.
Of the reporters also asked some of the local kids what they thought about her.
Do you know who Paris Hilton is?
No.
Do you know who Paris Hilton is?
No.
No.
What?
No.
You don't?
No.
So would you say that when you grow up you'd want to be like Paris Hilton?
No.
There you go.
That was Psycho Mike, I thought.
Oh, that could have been, yeah. Plus, the kid spoke perfect English.
Nobody stretches for a piece of tape than you, Kevin. Oh, and also the local reporters that were there in
Paris
Africa.
Paris Hilton
also
story.
Said this.
Kids talking about Paris Hilton.
Remember when Mike talked to some kids about Paris and just play that? Why did craft and weave an intricate spell and try to make a rich tapestry of a story before
I'm
you
an
play
artiste,
the
dude. I don't just want to throw stuff out.
I appreciate
Dr. Bill
that.
Was there.
It is weird that the rest of us see a horse and Kevin insists it's a zebra.
Dare you. You know, I had a satellite over their camp, and if I tune in carefully, I can hear someone talking about Paris, and I believe it may be the children of the gamekeeper.
Paris slept in several times, and Dr. Phil said,
"You need a wake-up call. You're going to go to the penitentiary."
Thank you.
I know how I am, so that's fine.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays: director Quentin Tarantino. It's not easy to say that name.
He's the best. I love him so much.
He is 45 years old today. He hasn't had a hit in a while. Kill Bill, I guess, was the last big
one. Yeah, Kill Bill 1 and 2 were both great, but I still, it wasn't a huge box office hit, but I enjoyed the heck out of his half of the double feature.
Really?
Of
his Grindhouse?
I did. I loved the spirit of it more than I thought it was actually a great movie, but I love what he did with it and how experimental he is. And the guy tries. He's doing something different. That's what I like.
Rodriguez better.
Yeah, it was good. It was good.
Quentin's 45. Mariah Carey is 38 years old today.
Bell or no Bell?
I think she's Bell worthy now. Have you seen her?
I think so.
She lost a lot of weight.
Yeah, she's all toned up and she's all booby.
She did a new video for Touch My Body or whatever that song is. Pretty good.
Is that the one with the guy from 30 Rock in it?
Yes.
It's very funny. Yes. Fergie of the Black Eyed Peas is 33 years old today.
Bell or no Bell?
No.
She's peed herself.
I think no, too. I don't find her attractive at all.
No,
well, she's somewhat attractive.
She can be attractive.
Yes, she can.
But that face is
Face is beat, yeah.
How do you give a body a bell but not a face?
Good point.
Tough one.
You know what she looks like? I hit it right in the nose. If you take a Polaroid...
If I have to say so yourself?
I'm telling you.
I am so great.
I'm so good.
Look how good this is. I am amazing. Here's what I'm going to say now.
Tell me I'm not right, dude.
No, but here's the thing.
You've already told yourself you're right. Don't need us to tell you.
If you took a Polaroid of Carmen Electra and you let it be exposed to heat for a little bit too long and it just melted just a little bit, that's what her face looks like.
Thank you for pointing that out. You're the smartest guy I know.
Thank you, Dave.
Fergie's 33.
That's true. That's a good observation.
We'll just have to go without the bell for now because I'm already tired of this conversation.
All right.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We've been talking about it all week. I can't believe it's really going to be made, but Oliver Stone, the Oscar-winning director of such movies as JFK and Nixon, coincidentally, is making a movie about President Bush that I guess is just going to be called Bush. And he plans to make it fast, make it cheap, and get it out this year, get it out in the remaining months of the president's tour of duty.
I already rented Bush. It was over the weekend, and it's not very political.
This is completely different. And every day this week, Ralph has been coming in and giving us updates on the casting and everything. And I just I can't believe it's really going to happen. I guess the movie is going to be called W. Is that what we're being told?
Yeah, and Oliver Stone has come out many, many times, especially since the Iraq War started. Just so against it, so against President Bush. And I know a lot of people feel that way. But they asked him his personal opinion of the president, and he said, I can't give you that because the filmmaker has to hide it in the work.
That's what he's famous for.
That's what he does.
He's Mr. Objective.
And he says he's not looking to make an anti-Bush movie. So I don't know if I trust any of that, but you know what? We thought it's time to talk to the president and just find out what he thinks about the whole thing. We've got our president now, George W. Bush, on the phone. Good morning, George.
How are you, Kevin?
Whoa.
Holy
whoa.
Crap. What the hell? Check one.
Wow.
Two,
right,
check,
Mr. President?
Two.
Kind of weird tube of history are you walking through?
Two. I'm walking through a tube of history. And they say I can't talk.
Well, you can.
I know.
Hold on a
Kevin
second.
Gives you a run for your money there, Mr. President.
Breakfast here. Here we go.
Oh, okay.
Fresh air.
Hey, Mr. President.
Celebrate.
I know it's tough being the president, the most powerful man in the world.
Not that hard, actually, at all.
Well, okay. That was going
to
be my question.
Pretty easy.
Now that you're a lame duck, now that nobody really cares what you say or do, is the pressure off? Can you actually just kind of sit back and enjoy it and just wait for the clock to run out now?
Well, frankly, I was a little concerned about what I'd be doing after the presidency.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. It's a big job.
You're relatively young. You'll have a lot of years after you get out of office.
I didn't know what my future would hold.
Right.
So I was a little concerned about what I was going to do with my life.
Mm-hmm.
But I've made a decision.
Okay.
I didn't even know this was happening behind the scenes.
Okay.
And people that I work with have apparently set up for me to become a movie star. I'm going to be making a movie now, and I'm very excited.
You're making a movie? What movie are you making?
I'm not sure yet, but I just heard from someone that I'm going to be in a movie. They're making a movie. And so I get to be in my movie, so I've been working on what kind of movie I want to make, and it's pretty exciting, quite frankly.
Well, what kind of movie have you come up with?
Well, I'm thinking... Again, I didn't even know I was going to be an actor, but they tell me that things are already in motion for me to star in a film. So I need to be working on something to be good for me. I, the way that the TV shows are being made into movies these days, I think I'd be great to play Magnum P.I.
Magnum P.I.
on the big screen.
Okay.
Hey, Higgins, let's go solve that crime. Whoa, those dogs look ferocious. I'm going to hop in my Ferrari now.
Mr. President. Mr. President.
Oh, where's Robin Masters? He lets me stay at his house. He's a good guy.
Mr. President, who told you about the movie, and what did they say exactly?
They said, you are making a movie. They're making a movie, and you're in it.
Okay.
And I was like, great. I'm looking forward to it, because you know, I love TV.
Right.
I love how they make TV shows into movies. Those are the best ones.
Right.
Make a TV show, make it into a movie.
Right.
So I was thinking maybe Deal or No Deal, the movie.
Well,
and I play the guy, comes into your house and goes, okay, Deal or No Deal.
How's that a movie?
Then there's like a bomb in a suitcase, and you got to pick one out of it.
Oh,
then I get to disconnect the bomb at the end, like
that,
a hero.
That raises the stakes on that game. I'll tell you that.
Or I could be like Never Back Down 2, where
sure.
I go to a new high school, and there's MMA fights going on.
Right.
And I say, okay, I'm going to fight you, and then I have to go talk to a black guy, and he teaches me how to fight. And then I win.
Mr. President.
I'm very excited. Or maybe I'll do one of those movies about the musicians. That's how you get an Oscar, you know, if you play a famous musician in a biopic.
Sure. All the time, yeah.
Called biopic.
Right, sure. Right.
Because it's run on biodegradable fuel.
I don't think that's why they call it biography.
They make the movie out of corn oil or something.
I don't think they make it out of
grease from French fries.
It's just about a real
person.
And then you
star as a performer, and you sing, and you play their life story, and then they give you an Oscar.
Mr. President,
I was thinking doing one on Afro Man.
You're going to play Afro Man, the black guy who did Because I Got High about 10 years ago?
I wanted to declare a war, but then I got high.
We wish.
Thought it was shock and awe, and then I got high.
I don't think there's a movie in Afro Man's life, Mr. President.
Maybe Crazy Town. I play the lead singer of Crazy Town in Crazy Town, the movie.
Yeah.
Come, my baby, my pretty baby, you're my butterfly, my baby.
Mr. President, did they come to you and say...
Or maybe I do a movie about the Flobots.
Oh, good.
I'd be like a truck that turns into a giant robot.
Right.
And then I think, I can ride my bicycle with my handlebars.
Look, you've got a lot of great ideas. Don't get us wrong.
Oh,
but
Frankie Goes to Hollywood. I can play Frankie.
Oh, yeah.
Frankie Goes to Hollywood.
I don't know how to tell you this, Mr. President, but I can't wait.
I can't wait to be a movie star. It's going to be great.
Did they ask you specifically for ideas for the movie?
Well, no, but...
They didn't.
I figured if I'm the star of the film, I get to choose what kind of film I'm going to make.
Well,
so I've got a lot of great ideas. Maybe I could be in UB40, the movie.
I'm not sure there's a movie there either.
Although it does
involve red wine, so.
There we go.
I don't think we even want to break the bad news to him about what's really going on here. But look, I think you should call your movie Tube of History. I do know that.
Passion to special effects in that. 3D. George Bush comes at you from the Tube of History. 3D.
Why the hate for Mr. Nielsen?
Well,
we love that dude.
No, there's no hate. I love him, too. He's been in a lot of great spoof movies. Airplane, the most classic, but that was, you know, what, late 70s or something like that?
Yeah, but he's in all the Scary Movie,
yep.
You know, Scary Movie franchise. Spy Hard was awesome. The Naked Gun movies. The guy's hilarious.
I agree, but do you remember the last time we talked to him? You remember
that? Of course.
It was a little sad. Right? I mean, didn't it seem to you like...
I don't know that we caught him on his best day, if that's what you're asking, but I'm not worried. I'm sure he's fine now. He's a year older.
We're going to talk to him about a superhero movie, but here's a little bit of the last Leslie Nielsen disaster, and he was a little confused. You guys spoof War of the Worlds, you spoof The Grudge, The Village, Saw, Million Dollar Baby. How many of those movies have you seen? Okay, now, I'm not the best person to be talking about asking questions and answering, but that was semi-clear, right? I mean, that...
You basically wanted to know, of all the films that are parodied in
yes.
your current movie, how many of the originals have you seen? That was the question.
Right, but I'm asking you if that was clear enough for him.
Yes, I think
okay.
so.
Okay, all right, here's his answer.
How about the basketball game?
How about the basketball game? So then I thought, well, maybe he's talking about the Shaq part at the beginning where, they, you know, Dr. Phil and Shaq, and they got to shoot free throws. Remember that scene?
That's right.
But,
that's right.
But it wasn't a game. I mean, I guess maybe it was a game in that if they didn't make it, they couldn't, you know, live or whatever. But I don't know if that's what he was talking about.
It seem responsive to, no. Did you see War of the Worlds?
No. No. Basketball game. Remind me about the basketball game. I forget.
Am I talking about the, who am I talking to?
Okay, right there. I knew. Uh-oh. Who am I talking to? It's Kevin and Peter.
Kevin, you know, I do police work. You can't be found.
That's correct, yes.
Where are you? You're in Dallas, right?
Okay, so where are you? You're in Dallas, right?
What is the thing about the police work, about how you can be found? I didn't know you were missing. I mean, you're not hiding from him,
no,
right? You're having a conversation with him.
I think he's trying to play it off as you're being, you know, you're obfuscating who you are, and I can figure it out because I've done police work. Just because he was on the police movie, you know, whatever. So
they could get movies, right? Police Squad.
Know. So then he says, where are you, Dallas? And we just decide, okay, listen, let's just go with it. We're in Dallas, yes. Yes, we are. Yeah, that didn't go as well as we had hoped.
Mr. Nielsen is 82 now, by the way, and is Canadian. So he already has two strikes against him. So I guess we'll just have to wait and see how it goes in the 9 o'clock hour this morning.
But we said, after that last appearance, we said, thumbs up. Is that correct? Thumbs up.
Hell yeah.
Got to have another interview with him. All right, and that's coming up later this morning on K.
Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for a Thursday morning. Ralph, what's Hollywood talking about today?
Well, it looks like doctors may finally know what caused the death of Jason Ray, of course, the husband of Corinne Bailey Ray. He was discovered dead in his Hyde Park flat in Leeds, England, earlier this week, and now a pathologist has formed the initial conclusion that Jason Ray died of a suspected drug overdose, as they suspected from the beginning. There was no evidence of any injuries or any disease in the body, says Deputy Assistant Coroner Robert Chapman. And apparently there is a man that was held by the police that said he had sold illicit drugs to Mr. Ray. So reporters were there, and they asked Corinne Bailey Ray what she thought about the death of her husband.
Corinne Bailey Ray. An unforgettable moment with Corinne Bailey Ray. Wow. Corinne Bailey Ray. An unforgettable moment with Corinne. Right.
You're an uneducated alcoholic.
Yeah, I know. Holy crap.
Wow.
Yeah. Good times. Did you watch AI last night, Kevin?
American Idol blew
a shocker. The bottom three of vote getters were Chiquizzi, who I liked a lot, and Saisha Mercado and Jason Castro.
I am sick of Negroes who just do not get it.
Castro, of course, the dreadlocked stoner dude. Saisha Mercado, the wannabe Whitney Houston, and Chiquizzi, the soul brother.
So these three people you all thought were going to?
They were in the bottom three.
I know, but did you think that was how it was going to shake out?
I thought Saisha wasn't long for the competition, but I liked Chiquizzi a lot. I thought he was going to go a little further than he did, but it ended up, it was Chiquizzi who was voted off last night. I was just thinking two out of the three bottom vote getters were the final two African American candidates on the show.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I was just waiting for someone to start screaming racism because the two of them were in the.
Because that's how it always happens?
Yeah.
Because it's not possible that they weren't the best
Fantasia
singers.
Fantasia and Ruben Studdard, you know, one and all.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll be hearing those complaints soon, I'm sure. Tina Fey has offered Ashley Dupree, the whore that was banging Governor Elliot Spitzer, a part on 30 Rock.
Excellent.
She says, I have no idea how to get in touch with her. Well, you go to the website of the Emperor's Club.
type in
Kristen.
Plant 10.
And then you offer her $4,300 to come and do the show. And apparently that's how it works.
Yeah.
Why would they want her on the show? I guess just to mock her or bring something up?
Casting.
Get people to watch. Yeah.
Would you pay $35 to see a movie?
I can't imagine why I would. No.
What if you got reclining armchair seats with footrests, a lounge and bar serving cocktails and appetizers, concierge service, valet parking, and a waiter that or waitress that would bring the food and drink to your chair?
So? I would say no.
Well, yeah, I think I'm a no on that, too. It sounds like fun, but $35 is still a bit pricey.
Are the drinks included?
No. Food or drinks are not included in the $35.
No.
So?
Well, the Village Roadshow movie chain thinks that you will.
I'm going to go with no on that.
They are building 50 high-end theaters and shopping malls and shopping centers across the country. In addition to the movies, they'll have capacity to show both 2D and 3D movies. There will be made-to-order meals like sushi from on-site chefs who work at the theater. And you'll have a button like you do on an airplane to call the service attendant to your seat.
Oh, each that's seat, not going to be annoying.
Each seat will have its own button.
It'll beep.
And when you need a waitress, you just hit the button. Then they come over and say, yes, Mr. Ryder, what can I get for you?
So they're going to be coming in and out during the entire movie?
Apparently so.
No.
That sounds bad. I mean, I understand the thinking behind it is you're trying to now compete with better and better home setups. You're trying to make the movie and make it worth paying money to go out to see a film rather than wait for it to come on DVD. But still, I think that that setup you've described has some problems.
Now, I would have thought that about, you know, $15-17 a movie, but then I go to the Arclight, which has reserved seating, has an excellent bar and restaurant right outside the movie theater,
right,
has great parking, and I don't mind at all paying that much for it because it's just it enhances the experience. Yeah.
How good can your experience be though? Really,
I mean, you're saying $17 might be the top of the top end.
Yeah. $35.
Yeah, you're double that of this setup. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, we'll wait and see if it works out or not. Shall we?
I will tell you, though, it does seem like the 3D movies are going to be increasing more and more. It seems like they're going to be coming out in that format. They apparently have figured out that's a cash cow.
Not only new films, but they're going back and making a bunch of old films. They're adapting them to 3D. So soon you're going to see Titanic re-released in 3D, and a lot of classic films are going to get the 3D makeover because people are responding very strongly.
I haven't been to any of those. Would you say it's worth it, Ralph?
I'll tell you, I saw Beowulf in 3D.
Oh, that's right. It was on IMAX?
On IMAX.
Yeah.
And it was a remarkable movie experience.
Do her boobs hit you in the head?
Not so much.
Not so much.
But at the same time, I think if I had seen that movie without the 3D effect,
mm-hmm,
I would have not cared for it that much.
Oh, really?
So it really enhanced my opinion of how I felt when I came out of Beowulf afterwards.
I saw it in 2D, and I thought it was okay. It was fine.
Yeah.
But
it's kind of like when high def first started becoming popular on television. You found yourself watching shows that you didn't even like,
right,
just because it looked so cool.
Yeah. Dude, they've got boat racing in high def. I got to watch that on the high def channel. It's foil racing in Salt Lake.
But you don't watch that kind of stuff.
No, it's great. You can see every drop of water. I think the 3D movies eventually will be the novelty wear off, and you'll start, you know, holding them the same standard you hold any
right,
film.
Right, right, yeah.
That's what I predict.
I'd like to not have to wear those stupid plastic glasses, though.
Well,
that's my...
I don't think that technology is coming anytime soon.
All right.
They're going to have 3D TV screens for your home, you know.
Without the glasses or with?
With, I think.
I'm out.
You can now use something called the Tunnel of History, though,
yeah,
as I understand.
If you look down there, 3D. Everything's in 4D to go through the Tunnel of History. Because time counts, too, as a dimension.
Yeah.
And we talked yesterday about baby pictures,
mm-hmm,
what magazines are willing to pay for them, and what the results are in terms of their circulation and sales.
Wish you guys could have seen Ralph yesterday after the show trying to track down that website and finding it. Very upset. Ready to kill somebody.
That was
Celebrity Dog Watcher.
That's right. Totally that was
different. Story. Totally different conversation.
Totally different story. Yeah.
Same
not related
thought.
At all.
Let's go down the tube of history and go back to the story I was talking about.
Okay, sorry.
I was talking
to
about
keep up, Kevin.
Jennifer Lopez's photos that she sold to People magazine for $6 million.
And why
photos of her dog?
No, of her baby twins.
Oh, babies.
And it shot circulation for People magazine through the roof, and their website tripled its number of hits once it posted those pictures. Well, apparently Angelina Jolie is talking about selling her baby's pictures for between $8 and $10 million.
Wow. Why? What?
Because people will fall over themselves trying to get to whatever
media
features them.
My
why?
My question to that is why.
We don't know.
I don't get
that.
But
we can see Shiloh for free in any magazine. These kids are going to look just like her.
Him.
Him.
Him. Whatever.
Either way,
sure he is. Right.
I don't know, man. I don't get it. It's funny because the National Enquirer executive editor says, when I was the editor of Star, we bought photos of Lisa Marie Presley's baby back in 1989 for $100,000. And at that time, I thought it was the most outrageous amount anyone to ever pay for baby pictures. Now it's chump change.
Okay. Yep.
$8 to $10 million, they're predicting Angelina will sell her photo.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
No.
Yeah.
No, you would.
Stop it.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Mariah Carey's 38 years old today. Director Quentin Tarantino turns 45, and Fergie of the Black Eyed Peas turns 33. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Right now, it's time for Tyler Labine. Good morning, Tyler.
Good morning.
Tyler's on one of our favorite shows, Reaper. He plays Sock, the funny best friend. Hello. How are things on the program?
Things on the program are good. You're going to have to excuse me this morning. I'm really sick. So if I sound like I've got a swollen throat, I do.
We can't get anything from you, can we?
You probably could. But okay. I'm that potent.
Are you hungover, Tyler? Is that what it is?
No, I'm not hungover. It's one of those things where it's like this sick, incestuous, you know, set orgy thing where you're just passing everything around. You know, it's unavoidable, really. But, you know.
Well, I hope you caught it from Missy. I hope you caught it from Missy Peregrine. Then it'd be all worth it. If that was the case,
and not Sam.
I'm not going to say that because her boyfriend is a big, massive man who would just pound me into the ground. So
now it seems unlikely to me, Tyler, because we've talked about this show a lot. We've had some of your co-stars on, but there are people out there who still haven't caught wind of Reaper yet. How do you explain it to people when you're trying to tell people about your show on the CW?
Well, you know, I've been trying to reinvent the term thrillomedy.
Thrillomedy.
A thrillomedy. It's a term I'm trying to coin here. It's an hour long, you know, show that has a little bit of everything for everybody. It's got thrills. It's got humor. It's got some drama. It's got romance. It's got good looking people. It's got not such good looking people. you know, it's a bit of everything, and I really feel like it's the type of show that anybody can jump in anywhere. And really enjoy.
That's one of the hardest things it seems like to do because so many people try it and fail, which is to make a good thrilling show with pretty good special effects. And, you know, they're trying to catch souls and send it back down to the devil. And I mean, to hell. And it's well done. But then it's also funny at the same time. And that, I don't know why it's so hard to do, but most people fail miserably when they try this kind of show.
They do. And that was the concern going into it for me. You know, I was like, oh boy. There you go, coming in as a comic relief in this, you know, this situation, and let's just see how it goes. But yeah, it's kind of a rarity to have a, especially with an hour long format like this, to get the humor and walk that line between, you know, horror or whatever you want to call it, sci-fi, thriller, and comedy. But I think it works really well on the show.
You know, Tyler, I think one of the strong suits of the show also is that every week you've got sort of your demon of the week that you guys have to catch, but it's also the relationships between the characters, you and Sam, and Sam's relationship with Andy, that the character development is strong enough that you want to follow these people's stories and find out what's going to happen to them.
Definitely, I agree. And that's... that is more of the area we're starting to go into now. After we got picked up again here to finish the season, the writers came back to the table with a bunch of ideas that are really strongly focusing on the mythology and the character development rather than, you know, the formula of Demon of the Week. We're still going to have that, but it's not going to be necessarily a demon every week. It's going to be, you know, we're going to really dive into the characters and get to know more about
them. Can we dive more into Andy?
Oh, stop it, Kevin.
I'm just saying. She's the hot chick on the show. We might as well go for that.
Actually, Katie, Sam's girlfriend, who may or may not be the daughter of the devil, is pretty spectacularly hot,
she's cute, too. Yeah.
You know who else is hot? Is those two gay demons you're living next door to now. Those are pretty handsome dudes.
They're good-looking dudes, aren't they?
Yeah.
and they're powerful.
Yes, they are.
This is the voice of Tyler Labine on the phone right now, a little under the weather, but he was a man about it and didn't cancel on the Kevin Labine Show. We appreciate that. We're talking about Reaper tonight at 9 on the CW. I have a question for you, Tyler, and forgive me if you hear this all the time, but I have to ask, what do you do to your hair to get it to stand up straight like that every episode?
That is a secret I will take to the grave.
Oh, well, I don't blame you for protecting it.
I sleep extra hard, for starters.
So, and then you don't wash it? You just go right to work?
No, I don't wash it. I go to work, and I make sure I sleep a lot at work.
Good.
Excellent.
You know, just to keep that, you know, that just out of bed look. but it's, it's actually a lot more difficult than it looks. It takes some doing, but... sleeping hard is definitely one of the keys. Yeah.
Right. You know, Tyler, you worked with our pal Kevin Smith on the pilot of this show, and I think his tone is sort of all over it in terms of being able to pull off, you know, the thrilling aspect and the comedy aspect, like you were talking about. Does he have any much involvement in the show as it's been going along since the pilot?
I have to be honest with you, there. No, not really. It was Yeah, I don't really know. He did want to have more to do with the show, but I think things just sort of happened after the pilot that it just the circumstances didn't allow it to happen.
Right,
but,
right.
You know, he's still very much a fan of the show, and he actually called me up and invited me out to Pittsburgh to go shoot a cameo in his new movie with Seth Rogen, which was cool. So he's, you know, we're staying in touch, and I know he likes the show, and I'm sure if things went a different way, maybe next year, who knows, knock on wood, he would come back, I'm sure. So
one of the other best things about the show is Ray Wise is the devil.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
It's amazing.
It's really such a just unique portrayal. You've never seen the devil like this before. And how do you come up with a way to portray the devil that no one's ever done before? But he just does it so low-key and such with a sense of humor, a big smile. He's just the nicest guy in the world, but still
have
the devil.
Have you guys talked with him?
Yeah, we have.
We had him on before the show aired. He's just terrific.
He's just the nicest guy in the world. And it's so funny because you'll be watching him, you know, talking to people on set, walking around and just, you know, just being this, you know, total dude, and then the camera rolls on him and nothing changes. It's just that he's the devil, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, well,
the amount of effort that's put into it for him is so minimal. It's like, in fact, the nicer he goes with it, the creepier it is.
Yeah, and it does seem like most actors, when they had a role like the devil, would try so hard to make
the scenery.
Yeah, and it just, he doesn't seem to care. He's very cool with being the devil and being a nice, smiling guy.
I know. Can you imagine their auditioning process? I mean, just the amount of different takes on how to be the devil, and then Ray Wise comes walking in with his, like, man tan and his super white teeth.
Right.
He nails it as being like a used car salesman from hell, basically. That's what the devil is.
Exactly. Yeah, and he told us when they were trying out for the role, they had a bunch of different people try out for it, and he just came in with his own unique spin. I don't think they told him about it. He came up with it, and they loved it.
Yeah, he totally did, yeah.
They loved it instantly and just gave him the part.
He's very proud of it. He talks about it all the time.
I bet. That is really what got this show its initial attention, was his unique portrayal of the devil, and really put the program on the map. But it is held in there. And I didn't know, Tyler, until we had you on today, that it had already been confirmed that you were picked up and coming back for next year. So that's great news for Reaper fans. You
know, we're not picked up for next year. We've been picked up to finish this season.
To finish this season.
How many more episodes do you have coming this season, Tyler?
We have six more coming.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Well,
yep.
We certainly hope we hope people tune in and watch, because it really is one of the great. It's a fresh, interesting show on television, and you don't see a lot of that, especially now in this day and age. And we really encourage people to tune in.
Please do.
It's called Reaper. It's Tyler Labine. Thank you very much for talking to us today. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Bye now.
We got to deal with a rare political item here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. You know, they're really scrambling there on the Democratic side. It's neck and neck between Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama to find out who's going to get the nomination to represent the Democratic Party in the general election this November. I mean, it is close right now. So, you know, it's a big deal last week, for instance, when Senator Obama gets the endorsement of Bill Richardson, who used to be in the race himself, and he has a large Latino following. And right now, everybody, I mean, both candidates are really campaigning hard to try to get the brown man, because that could be the difference in the election. That's how close it is right now.
Right.
Historically, Hillary Clinton's been huge with the Latinos. Barack Obama, not so much. Is that changing as we get closer to the election in November?
Closer to the election 17 years from now, when November finally rolls around and we can stop talking about this goddamn election, then?
It'll be here before you know it.
Oh, man. I hope.
What is the deal with that? I mean, I don't know what Hillary Clinton has done that has made her so popular with Latinos. I know her husband was very popular. Maybe some of that is just carrying over. And I don't know what it is about Barack Obama that so many Latino voters don't seem to like. We can't figure this one out, and I guess that's why we sent our man Psycho Mike out on the street, right?
Now, Psycho Mike, you're Mexican.
Yeah.
Why do your people not like the Barack?
I don't know, but a lot of people speculate that there's this ongoing animosity between the Latino community and the black community.
In general,
and that it may be the fact that he is
I know that's
a black
true
guy.
In, you know, almost all prisons. I know they have gangs that fight with each other all the time.
And I know it may sound, you know, elementary and stupid, but a lot of people are speculating that the reason that the Hispanic community doesn't want to vote for Barack Obama is because he's a black guy, and it just goes back to tradition.
Does it have to do with the two sides jockeying over who gets to be the number one minority or something? I mean, like they're both united against the white man, but my minority race is better than your minority race. We're number two, or what? I mean, I'm just trying to get my around what that means.
I think the cultures, especially with what they've had to deal with in America, have a lot of similarities. But I also think that that's what pits the two against each other.
Yeah.
Like you said, I mean, they both have had to deal with kind of similar struggles. So that it's like, I have it worse off than you do. And it's, you know, if one of us is going to get ahead, it's not going to be the other. You know, just kind of like a race.
We've had a lot of conversations about, would you not vote for Hillary because she's a woman? Would you not vote for Barack because he's a black man? I think we've all kind of come down on the side of, I certainly hope there's no one out there that would make a decision based on that. Really? Like, that's all you make the decision based on?
I wouldn't vote for a Clipper fan. Well, I'll say that right now.
I mean, I think that's a universal.
Okay.
That's fine, because Donald Sterling's the devil. But, so you went out on the street to try and, you know, find out, dig up some information.
I took it straight to La Raza. I wanted to know the real dirt.
And where did you go?
I went to Plaza de Mexico, right off the 105. I don't know what city that is. Someone filled me in, but it's right off the 105, out in the middle of nowhere. Super Steve took us out there. He said, if you want to know what the community feels, you got to go right to the heartland.
Okay.
And that's where we went. I asked those people, I said, what's up with Barack?
America collectively as a whole seems to be behind Barack Obama, except for the Hispanic community. Why do you think that is?
I'm not really sure. Just like, because I don't know, like, they say he's black and everything, but I don't think it is that, but just the things that he says is like, I don't know, like,
why no love for chocolate faces in the Hispanic community?
For what?
If he was Latino, would you vote for him?
Hell, yeah.
Now, why is there seem to be such overwhelming support for Hillary Clinton, who is also not Latino?
Honestly, she was the ball behind Clinton, dude. So come on.
A Mexican man can respect a strong woman.
Hell, every Latino man has a Latino woman behind him.
Okay,
so that's what's backing him up. It's not the man, dude. It's the woman holding the wallet. Oh, that's the way it is at home. My mom f***s up my dad all the time.
They have huge penises.
I know, but I love all the people.
I really just want him to show more support by helping Hispanics out, like the poor kids and everything from Mexico. Hillary has done that. Didn't she go to Mexico and help poor kids out?
In her life?
Yes.
No. She went to Mexico and bought kids, brought them back to work at the White House.
Really?
She raped a bitch on TV.
Oh, my God.
Are you a big fan of black people? Do you think if he shaved his head, more Latino women would be into, Latinas would be into him?
No.
No. What if he drew his eyebrows in?
No.
Okay. I'm just making sure.
No.
Why is it that the Hispanic community not a big fan of Barack Obama? Think it's because he's black?
I think he's ugly.
Oh, it's because he's ugly?
Yeah.
Okay. So, if you had your choice, what candidate would be your choice?
I like Hillary Clinton.
Because she's so attractive?
She looks good.
Okay. You like
experience.
Wizened old women that look like men?
They're very wise.
That's hot. What do you think Hillary does downstairs? Shaved?
She has a Batman sign.
A Batman sign in her pubes. Who are you voting for if you were to vote?
Working for construction.
What's that?
I work for construction.
You work in construction?
Yes, construction.
You like Barack Obama?
I listen all the station in English.
Okay. Barack Obama is not getting a lot of support from the Hispanic community. Why do you think that is?
Isn't that that one black fool running for president?
That is that one black fool.
That's dope. That's dope.
Well, I don't know what we learned from that, except God help the Republic.
No, we learned that Hillary Clinton has Batman shaved in her pubes.
Yeah, and that man works construction.
Plaza de Mexico is in Linwood, it turns out.
Very
like
nice.
A bike. Thank
Very
you to David for letting us know on that.
And by the way, there's a video of that, a little bit different edit of that video, up at krock.com, the Kevin and Bean page. Go to video and you can see why does the brown man not like Barack. Got Ryan Phillippe in a few minutes talking about the new movie Stop Loss, which opens tomorrow.
Hopefully in a few moments.
What did I say?
In a few minutes. Oh. And, of course, Frank McCourt, owner of the Los Angeles Dodgers, coming up after 8. And I'm already getting excited, Kevin, about the return of Leslie Nielsen on the Kevin Beach Show.
Oh, yeah. You know, that went well the first time. So that's going to be good. Remember last time we talked to him? And he was a little confused. You guys spoof War of the Worlds. You spoof The Grudge, The Village, Saw, Million Dollar Baby. How many of those movies have you seen?
How about the basketball game?
Basketball game. Remind me about the basketball game. I forget.
Am I talking about the... Who am I talking to?
It's Kevin and Pete.
Kevin,
I do police work. You can't be found.
That's correct, yes.
Where are you? You're in Dallas, right?
We're in Dallas, yes. Yes, we are.
What are you doing?
What's going on is a good question. I think the best thing about that, as I hear the last time we had Mr. Nielsen on, is that he's now about a year and a half older.
Yeah.
So I can't wait. I'm so excited. I mean, the combination of you and Leslie Nielsen together in the same interview.
I mean, that has everything that I could look for.
But like, how come I'm like that now and it took him, you know, 90 years to get that way?
I can't wait to see Kevin in 50 years. I'll tell you that.
Dear God.
It's going to be like people sitting around the home trying to have a conversation.
We're also going to be talking about the NCAA tournament. March Madness continues again tonight. UCLA has a game in the Sweet 16. We're going to talk to Bill Plaschke from the LA Times. And we're going to talk to the owner of the Dodgers coming up. Three games against the Red Sox, one of them at the Coliseum. Mike, are you going to the Coliseum game?
I'm going to be on the air. I can't.
You struggle.
You're bad.
Largest crowd in the history of baseball to see a game live, by the way. I think it's something like 120,000 people or something like that. And by the way, that's how you want to see baseball, is from a mile up.
And they're doing that at the Coliseum because they used to play there a long, long, long time ago?
Yes, the 50th anniversary of the Dodgers moving to Southern California. Of course, they, you know, left New York, came out, took up residence here in L.A., and they didn't have a stadium. They didn't have a place to play. So while they were building Dodger Stadium, they played at the Coliseum. So it's a little bit of a nod to that 50 years on. And, of course, it's, you know, the best part is, A, you see a piece of history while watching that, and then the world champion Red Sox are the team that's in town to watch them play against. So
right.
It's really got everything. It's going to be a lot of fun.
All right. Ryan Phillippe. Good morning. How's it going,
Ryan? What
are
they telling us? What's the update? We don't have them?
Hey, Mike, can you be Ryan?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, this new movie looks good.
It was a tough...
Tell us about Stop Loss.
It was a tough project to work on.
What was it like working on it?
It was tough, because it's such an emotional topic.
Was it tough?
Yeah, and just getting the accent down was hard.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
Did you have an accent coach?
Oh, of course I did. MTV really...
What was his name?
Jonathan.
Was Jonathan good?
He was. He went out of his way to make sure that I really nailed every nuance of the Southern accent.
Hey, Ralph, how are we doing?
Not well.
Sure would be good to talk to Ryan Phillippe.
You know what I'd like you to ask him when you get him on the phone?
Why he won't call on time?
That, and also what he thinks about the Eagles picking up Asante Samuel, the cornerback from the New England Patriots.
He's a great cornerback, by the way.
He is. He's great.
I don't think we need to.
Ryan's one of the few celebrity Eagles fans I know.
Yeah.
So I'd like to get his take on that.
As would I.
Talk a little Eagles.
You want to ask him?
We got the draft coming.
He's right
up
here. Ask him.
That was a huge signing, Ralph.
What did you think about Asante?
A-G-L-E-S, baby.
That's
all right.
Ryan Phillippe.
Woo, Philly.
I know, but we don't have Ryan Phillippe. What do you want from me?
Can you ask him like you asked Tyler Bean from Reaper? Hey, how's it going on the program?
That's a general question.
What kind of answer were you expecting?
How's good.
That going? That's what I thought. The best case scenario, the answer you get from Tyler Levine is, things are good on the program.
Yeah. Now, some people could pull it off when they don't sleep, and you can't even tell.
Yes.
That's not me.
Oh.
Well, I think the best part about this, just to share a little behind-the-scenes business, is we were directed to run early to make sure that we had time to talk to Ryan Phillippe because he has a very tight schedule today. So we did our part, and we were ready the second we were supposed to go to him, and now we've got no Mr. Phillippe. So apparently we lose.
Ryan, do we lose?
You guys lose.
Why weren't you there on time?
I'm sorry. I was busy filming an action scene.
Okay.
Are you familiar with the stop-loss term we were just talking about in the office?
Yeah, how some guys that came back from Iraq were pretty much done moving on with their lives.
They fulfilled their obligation for the armed services, but because of the lack of personnel apparently over in Iraq, they had to bring these guys back into active duty, which is just sucks.
Which is rough.
After you say, all right, I've done my 3 years, I fulfilled my obligation, and they say, oh, by the way, remember we said you're going home? No,
just kidding, you're going back.
That's not
going
to happen.
But I will tell you this. And I'm sure that they address this in the movie. But, you know, you see this story a lot on the news. There's always a human interest story where they have a local Southern California soldier who's being sent back. Almost every time when I see that story on the news, the guy says, you know, it sucks, but it's what I signed up for.
That's true.
Ready to go.
But it isn't what he signed up for.
No, but a lot of them take it, like Bean says, because they're quality guys that got this.
Yeah,
they seem to take it well, considering how much it sucks.
You know what I've found
it's
in
my
these
duty,
cases,
right? Yeah.
Almost invariably in every one of these cases, they've got a pregnant girlfriend and or wife at home. Seems like every time these guys are in the news, like, and Bill won't see the birth of his son because Bill will be in Afghanistan. Poor Bill.
It sucks to be Bill.
Is that how they say it on the
news?
They're
like, oh, Bill.
Poor Bill.
Oh, Bill.
Well, right, I would have enjoyed speaking with Ryan Phillippe about that aspect of the story and how it informed his movie.
Apparently,
how about that basketball game, huh?
Apparently, Ryan is MIA. I didn't realize that, but they can't find him. They're looking all
over.
Dude,
he's in Canada. He's avoiding the stop loss.
Mexico.
No, you know what it is? He said, I did the Kevin and Bean show 9 months ago. You want me to go back and do it again? I thought I was done. You can't order me to go back.
Oh, Bean.
See? Because right back in the stop loss.
It's just like in the movie.
Wow.
the moment that Beans are recreating for us.
Okay, well, if you're just tuning in, that was a great interview we had with Ryan Phillippe.
Yeah.
Talking about his new movie, Stop Loss, and see it tomorrow. Okay, bye.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
I saw him as a what do you call him?
I don't know.
Kevin does color commentary?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
That's my first step down the road of finally stopping and just saying, hold on.
Yeah.
And not just powering through.
You got to give us a little more to work with, though, than just com. What do you call it? Comedian?
We didn't have any idea what you were looking for, what the word
air
was.
Air traffic controller? I don't know.
The only thing that was coming to my head was color comment. I couldn't figure out what the end of
commentator?
The word was. Yeah. So, sorry.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
He's no Ryan Phillippe, but he's good.
No.
It's 7:49 on the Kevin Bean Show Thursday morning. Frank McCourter, the owner of the Dodgers, coming up after 8. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Thursday morning. What the hell's going on?
You familiar with Paul Prudhomme? Does that name sound familiar to you?
Yeah, but why?
He's a celebrity chef.
Oh.
He's a massively fat chef. Kind of looks like Dom DeLuise. The two are often compared side by side because they're both massive.
Big fat chef.
And they both wear like those Jeff caps, those jaunty little caps. Jeez, we called them Jeff caps back east. I don't know what you would call it out here, but
like a visor type thing.
No,
they're like driving caps. They snap in the front, like a like an Irish mobster would wear.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Anyway, he is in the news, according to TMZ.com. He was on a Louisiana golf course on Tuesday afternoon when he got shot by a .22 caliber bullet.
What,
dude?
Here's the thing, though. Here's how fat Paul Prudhomme is. It didn't even pierce his skin.
A .22 bullet.
Got hit by a .22, bounced off his voluminous fat.
Really?
Dropped to the green. Dude's so fat, he's bulletproof.
That's fat. No kidding.
He's
like
not a slim man.
That is fat.
He is not svelte.
Ralph, do they suspect it was a Gordon Ramsay drive-by or something? Some sort of chef battle going on?
No, you didn't.
Yes, it was a Gordon Ramsay drive-by.
Come on. That's another chef, right, Bean? That's your joke?
Yeah, because why else would somebody be shooting at a chef? That's all I'm thinking.
Fatty.
Police are interviewing Emeril Lagasse.
See? There you go.
And Rachel Ray.
Yeah.
Yeah. The shot came from Hell's Kitchen, apparently.
Dude, that was painful.
They say a .22 can travel up to 2 miles if it's shot. So they're speculating that someone was target shooting or shooting at something else or whatever. And the
shoot
bullet
up the
just,
air like they just didn't care?
Just traveled so far that it finally got to Paul, but just beep, just kind of bounced off.
Kind of out of gas by the time
Boing.
It got to him.
You shouldn't encourage people to be fat. Fat people are immoral.
That's true. So cops are looking into it. But
that's awesome.
They classified the incident from a shooting, and it got downgraded to a complaint. Which I thought was funny.
You mean it's not considered a shooting if it doesn't go in? Nice.
Doesn't break the skin.
Wow. Not a shooting.
You cannot acquit.
Obesity. Adiposity.
Mm-hmm.
Corpulence.
Yeah.
Whatever word you use, it represents one thing. Being a big fat ass.
That's true. Rumors already speculating that the estate of Heath Ledger is being contested and fought over and it's getting ugly.
Oh, no. What a douche.
Apparently, Michelle Williams' dad, Larry Williams, who works as an investment banker, is having to look into the fact that he believes Heath's family is already hiding assets that the late actor possessed. The Ledger brothers all hate each other, apparently. And so any money that's going to them is being fought over and hidden. And now they don't know what's going to go to Michelle and to the baby because Heath's will was not in place to include them at the time of his death. So now there's all sort of legal wranglings over his holdings, which by all account aren't that much. But whatever money there is, you know, they were hoping the majority of it would go to Michelle and to the baby.
Of course.
Right.
But,
yeah.
But the Heath's family apparently has got their grubby little hands on it, and now there's a big problem. So that's kind of sad. Because, you know, if you really thought about what his wishes would be.
Yeah, of course.
That's the way he would like his money to be divvied up. But the minute people get a whiff of a little coin, their baser natures come out. So
he hadn't updated it. That was the story?
When he died, he had not. The last time he drew up a will was before, actually, he even started dating Michelle. So there were no provisions for them, sadly. Jared Leto has a new movie coming out this weekend called Chapter 27.
I'll go see that.
Where he plays Mark David Chapman, man who was accused and found guilty of shooting John Lennon.
Wow, is this the first time they've ever used that topic for a movie?
I believe there was one other, a small budget independent film.
I think you're right.
About the assassination of John Lennon, but this is the first one starring a major celebrity.
Lily Loy!
Also co-stars in this film with Jared Leto. And Jared is doing interviews, of course, talking about the film and talking about the fact that he gained 60 pounds to play Mark David Chapman.
Ooh. Well, sounds sexy.
I don't know if you've seen photos of him in the role or not,
no.
But he's almost unrecognizable. And he said he would never do it again because of the toll it took on his health. Apparently, because he gained the weight so rapidly, he had such extreme pain in his feet and joints that he needed a wheelchair to go long distances. Couldn't walk
no.
a long distance with the extra 60 pounds.
Hey, fatty! You are fat!
What did he have? What did we hear at the time
gout.
That he was filming this?
He
got the gout, right?
Yeah. To make matters worse, he also fears that his body won't ever bounce back to its original shape. He said he's still not in any sort of decent condition. And he took a year, he said, just to get his body feel semi-normal, but he really doesn't feel he's 100% yet.
Maybe I have what doctors call a little bit of a weight problem.
Psycho Mike, maybe he needs a personal trainer is what I'm thinking.
Oh,
maybe
there you go.
Get him started.
Help get his body back where it should be.
I'll get his body in his back and then hump him.
Really?
Really?
You're right on the nose with that one.
Really?
At least try,
I will get
Mike.
His body on his back and then hump him.
Jesus. What is wrong with you?
Is it that whole side of the room over there or what?
Sketching.
That is horrible.
Did he get fat enough filming the movie that bullets would bounce off of him?
Apparently,
does it say
yes.
that?
He was shot with a .22 and lived to tell the tale.
Man, this is... week.
Get out your DUI pools, kids. It's time to check in again, see who won some money.
Fantastic.
Did anyone have Richie Sambora? Richie Sambora in the DUI pool. Anyone? Anyone?
Oh, what a shame. I wasn't here the day that we did the DUI pool.
So and you're definitely not winning.
But every time there's a new celebrity, don't you do it again so I can get in? Come on.
We don't do it until somebody wins. Once somebody wins, then
there's
we go
like,
back and...
We've done two, and I think, in all fairness, it is 2008. We should do a new one and include Kevin.
Thank
That's
you.
That's just my opinion.
What are you, the commissioner of DUI pools?
No, but I think...
Is that your ruling, Roger Goodell?
No, but we picked like six people total. We're going to have to wait forever for one of you guys to be right.
And the people we picked, they're so primed.
Pick them
again. Right on the edge.
Pick them again.
Oh, so we pick in, you're going to say, oh, Richie Sambora. That's the first person to come to your head.
No.
So no one would want anyone, so what are you crying about?
No, then my second guess would be Richie Sambora, and then my third.
We updated it already before. We've done a second DUI pool.
Thank
Why can't
you.
We do it again?
This is bogus.
I think you need to lodge your complaint with the officials and
All
see
right.
what they say.
DUI pool.
Here's the bad news about this DUI. He was popped Tuesday night around 10:52 p.m. Around that. Mm-hmm. Around 10:52. Cops saw him weaving in and out of traffic lanes on the PCH in Laguna Beach. Pulled him over. He failed a series of sobriety tests, was arrested and booked on DUI charges and released 4 a.m. the following morning. Here's the bitch of it, though. His 10-year-old daughter, Ava, was in the car with him, along with two other females, another underage girl, and someone who was apparently overage, but I bet not by much.
The story that I heard, by the way, is that they needed somebody to drive the car, so the police called Heather, Ralph, and got her permission to let this woman that Richie had in the car drive them home, drive the kids home.
Sweet.
How sweet is that for the phone call to the mother of the child
to get? Call your ex-wife, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, your ex-husband's loaded driving your 10-year-old around. We'd like his 18-year-old girlfriend to drive the car home, if you don't mind. Would that be okay
That's
for you?
Awkward.
Would that be all right for you, Heather? No wonder she's on antidepressants.
Yeah.
And Richie's already been in rehab twice in the past year, by the way.
Oh, ouch.
So it's not taking.
K-Rock microphones
safe
were,
to say.
K-Rock microphones were there.
Oh, they were.
Yeah.
Tell me you're going to stop.
I'm going to stop.
Promise?
No.
Yes?
Mm-hmm. I'll be fine.
Not so much. Not so fine.
Not as fine.
Vanessa Minnillo.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever seen her mom?
No.
Apparently, her mom hit on her boyfriend, Nick Lachey.
Her mom hit on her boyfriend.
Us Weekly magazine reports that Donna, Vanessa's stepmom, once approached Nick while he was still married to Jessica Simpson and started hitting on him, trying to sleep with him. That's kind of creepy.
Yeah, a little awkward.
Hmm.
I think her stepmom went back to him and said, I couldn't get him. You go. You go get him
Give
now.
It a shot. He's hot.
Maybe that's a phone topic. We can talk to girls who've had their moms hit on their boyfriends or husbands. I bet it happens more often than you think, especially these family get-togethers.
Oh, sure.
A couple cocktails in people. And
I think we just did that a couple of weeks ago. We had people.
Do it again!
We did Your Mom is Hot. I remember that.
Guys hitting on the moms. Yeah.
I thought we did your friends slept with your parents, though. We just did, like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Isn't that what you're talking about?
Well, it's a little more specific in that your mom, you're the girlfriend of the dude, and your mom is hitting on him. You don't have to sleep with him, but.
Right.
Right.
But just mom embarrassed you by hitting on your boyfriend.
Those stories seem to be endless. Seems like we could do that topic every other day, and it would be fine.
I hear you, brother. And here's good news. You know, we had a little problem in the show today. Ryan Philippe didn't call in. You know, we've been struggling a little bit. Psycho Mike's been talking a lot.
Yeah.
Hasn't been a good show.
Yeah.
But I got some good news. Something to make you feel good about yourself.
Excellent.
Joss Stone has announced that she is going to make her acting debut in a new British comedy called Snappers.
Snappers?
Yes. In the film, she plays a lesbian.
Oh!
And promises her fans a long, hot, lingering French kiss with another 20-something woman who stars in the film as well.
I drink your milkshake.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I would do everything to her. I would wreck that chick.
These are the things that are going to push the boundaries, she says, and that excites me.
Excellent.
Oh, I want her to be excited.
Me too.
That's so hot.
So freaking excited that she just... you know what I'd do? I'd get her body and put it on her back, and then I'd hump her. That's what I'd do. That's how much I'd dig her.
Sounds good, right?
Hey, Ralph, I have a clip from that movie.
Do you, Kevin?
Yes, I do.
Is it reporters talking to children about Paris Hilton?
Yeah, Eric. Hey, what's up, man? It's Mr. Khan.
No, it's worse.
Oh. Today's celebrity birthdays.
Shut up, Mike.
Q! Actor Quentin Tarantino is 45 years old today. Mariah Carey turns 38. Ooh. Looking better than she has in a long time,
she
by
is.
The way. Singer Fergie of the Black Eyed Peas is 33.
A bell for the body, not a bell for the face, I think.
Yeah, I don't have a
below the
appropriate
neck
bell for that. I'm sorry.
All right. Yeah.
And actress Elizabeth Mitchell from Lost is 38 years old today.
She's, what's her face? Juliet.
Yes, she is Juliet. She's the one who...
She gets a bell?
I think she's very attractive.
Oh, yeah.
Juliet?
Yeah. Absolutely.
The one Jack's involved with, you know, the doctor?
Yeah.
You don't think she's attractive?
Yeah. Mildly.
Did you see her coming out of the water with the bikini the other day when she was swimming with the dude who played...
No, that
to be
I
the tailie
see.
And then the one they killed?
A little behind.
Here's the thing. You know me, I've been so off Lost.
You've been a hater.
Lost. I've watched the past 3 or 4 episodes. It's really back on track again.
Absolutely.
The story is absolutely being moved forward. Things are happening that actually have some validity and that has some relevance to what's happening on that island. Things are back on track for
Lost. So you want back in the Lost Club. Maybe we don't want you.
I'm not expecting to be,
let
know,
back
be given
in.
Membership back
okay.
to the club.
You got
to
earn it.
Don't get me wrong.
You got to earn it.
But I am on the periphery enjoying it all myself, by myself, watching it on Thursday nights, enjoying it.
All right.
Because they had Michael's back. Kevin Johnson.
Sure.
Right.
And now he's on the ship. He's on the freighter where they're coming to the island. And they did his entire backstory, what led up to him being on the boat.
Mm-hmm.
Riveting, fascinating.
Super cool.
Very Lost-involved storyline. It was very very solid, very well-written, very coherent. Made a bunch of sense.
Yeah, it wasn't like crazy, out of the blue, just weird for the sake of being weird.
Right.
All the pieces fit, and it totally made sense with everything we've learned so far. So I enjoyed that, too.
Wasn't a flashback where he was like a nuclear physicist or something, and then he was on the space shuttle, and then a space monster ate him, and then pooped him out onto the boat. It wasn't something like that. It actually made sense.
Plus, how about Crazy Tom from the island with his boy toy Stefan living the high life in Manhattan? How about that? No one saw that coming.
Yeah, a little. Well, actually, I did because when he had captured Kate initially, when they had him down in the bunker, when Michael first went off with Walt in the boat and they captured Jack and Kate and Sawyer,
right?
And they took him down to the bunker to get him washed up and stuff.
On the other island, right?
Yes, right.
Okay, all right.
Kate was in the shower, and Tom was guarding her. And she said, would you please turn around or whatever? And he said, trust me, sweetie, you're not my type. That's when I knew Tom was good.
Yeah, because she's every guy's type.
Right. That's what we were talking about. How could that not be your type? Turns out.
Now we know.
He likes him some fellas.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
That was messed up.
He'd like to get a guy, take his body, put him on his back, and then hump him.
Really?
That's what he's into.
Wow.
That was messed up.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I feel like playing baseball. I can't really hit a baseball 201 feet, though. Is there some place I could play where I could hit a home run at 200 feet?
Well, if you can hurry real quick and get signed to the Dodgers or the Red Sox for Saturday's game at the Coliseum, I think you got a pretty good chance of knocking one out, dude. I mean, that would be my advice to you. You don't get the opportunity to do that very often. Yeah, the preseason winds down this weekend, and it's almost going to count. Starting Monday, the official opening of the Dodgers season is happening. But this weekend, the Red Sox are in town, including the game Saturday at the Coliseum. We couldn't be more excited about it, and we couldn't be happier to welcome back to the show our friend Frank McCourt, the owner of your Los Angeles Dodgers and chairman of the club. Hey, Frank, welcome back, man.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Very good, thank you.
Good to be always back
great,
with you.
Always great to have you on. This Coliseum thing, I know why baseball is doing it, because it's a nice way to look back and honor the history of the team when it moved west 50 years ago. But did you ever imagine it would generate as much excitement as it has as we lead up to that game on Saturday?
It's really kind of overwhelming, the response. I can't say I'm surprised, because Dodger fans never cease to amaze me with their support of the club. But you know, the idea of a celebration, birthday party for the 50th, and people being able to go to the game and relive old memories or create new ones. Obviously, I'm sure a lot of people that are going that have heard about the games at the Coliseum but have never experienced it themselves. And you take that and combine it with what we're trying to do is, in terms of sowing seeds for the next 50 years with the charity Think Cure, the proceeds are all going to our official charity, which is, it's just all about finding a cure for cancer.
Right,
so
right.
You're just really, really excited that it's had such a great response.
What about what Kevin was making reference to, which is the crazy, wacky dimensions of the Coliseum? Talk about what that's going to mean for the game.
I think it's just going to make it that much more fun and interesting. I mean, when the Dodgers arrived here 50 years ago, I mean, they needed a home to play in, and before Dodger Stadium was ready, and so they did their best to make a stadium that was really designed for football and track and field work for baseball, and that short dimension in left field was made for some interesting baseball for sure, and that we're going to recreate that condition at the ballpark, and you're going to see this big screen up in left field, and I'm sure it's going to be interesting. I think batting practice is going to be like the home run derby at the All-Star game, and we're opening the gates at 4:00 so fans can get in there and watch the both teams take batting practice.
Now, in the NBA, it doesn't matter what city you go to, the rim has to be 10 feet. That's always been an odd thing about baseball. It depends on what city you're in, how far you have to hit it to get a home run. Is this the shortest of any field in America?
Now it is, this game. When the dimension will actually be, the screen will actually be closer to home plate than it was 50 years ago, because they've added seats to the Coliseum where there used to be a track running around the football field.
Mm-hmm.
That track is no longer there, so there are seats. But it was a similar feeling or dimension to what exists at Fenway Park, with the Green Monster. Where that ballpark was built into an urban setting, and there was a street back there, so they couldn't build the full dimension of the ballpark down left field, so they put up a big wall to compensate for that. It's a quirky thing about baseball.
It is.
It's what makes it really kind of interesting, these odd dimensions.
Now, speaking of that, Mr. McCourt, when they tear down Yankee Stadium at the end of this season, Dodger Stadium will then be what, the second oldest park, I think, maybe, or third oldest park,
exactly,
or something like that?
Exactly right. It'll be the third oldest. Only Wrigley in Chicago and Fenway in Boston will be older.
Right.
So Dodger will join that pantheon of the three oldest, and that's pretty amazing for LA to have something that's the third oldest of anything.
It is.
Really,
And I bring that up because I imagine it's only a matter of time before people start bugging you about tearing down Dodger Stadium or doing some sort of massive renovation to change that up, because it seems like that's what happens. There's a history. There's for all of these ballparks, and eventually you get to the point where people say they don't work anymore. What are your feelings on that? Has there been any talk of that so far?
Well, there was a lot of talk 4 years ago when we bought the club, and we studied it, and we came to the conclusion that we should definitely keep Dodger Stadium right where it is. Very, very unique setting. I think we were blessed in the sense that the stadium was built at a time when concrete was coming in vogue, and so these other stadiums, Wrigley and Fenway, were built with steel, and so you have all these columns that cause these obstructed views. Dodger Stadium doesn't have any obstructed views at all. It's still very contemporary feeling. It has needed updates and upgrades, and that's what we've done each and every off season, including this past off season where we invested another $80 million in the stadium. So what we're trying to do is have the best of both worlds, which is to keep Dodger Stadium, but also but improve it with these different things that the fans want. I mean, a couple years ago we replaced the seats. Last year we solved the parking issue. This year we're focused on shortening those concession lines and those waits at the restrooms. So we've redone the complete field level concourse, and our plan is to redo all the concourses. And we have some other plans that we're going to share with the fans fairly soon. We're trying to gauge the fans' interest now in what they'd like to see Dodger Stadium be when it's fully restored and fully renovated, and that's we're committed to keep Dodger Stadium right there and to fully renovate it so that it's as good or better than any new ballpark. And of course, it will have the plus of being an old ballpark with all the memories associated with
it. I'd like to suggest free beer. if you're taking suggestions.
I'm going to listen to every suggestion instead of taking suggestions.
Hey, that's been real big for Mr. Moreno down in Anaheim. I'll tell you, lowering the beer price was the most popular thing that's ever been done for that franchise.
Yeah, the most popular thing we're going to do is win a world championship.
That's what I wanted to ask you about. I wanted to talk about the team for just a second, Frank. Now, clearly, you're going for it. When you go out and spend what it takes and bring a quality guy like Joe Torre out to manage your club, that means you're serious about this. Was that I never heard too much about how that came to be, but I guess when you heard he was unhappy, you figured we got to go after this guy. And who would have ever thought you could talk him into moving west?
Yeah, well, it was great. I mean, you're 100% correct. As soon as we heard that he was gonna part ways with the Yankees, to me it was a no-brainer. We just had to get this guy and bring him here, because immediately your words really resonate with me, because you put him in a Dodger uniform and suddenly, okay, everything we stand for, everything we're trying to accomplish is personified there. He's a winner. He's a leader, a great communicator. He's someone that looks to me like he's been in a Dodger uniform for a long, long time. He really fits well in it, looks well in it, and it's really gotten our club, everybody, to take notice, and I hope the fans have done the same, that we're committed to putting a team on the field worthy of our fan support. And we want to win. We want to win in the right way. And what Joe brings is certainly the credentials to win, but he's a class act. And that's what the Dodgers are all about. I mean, we need to be doing things the right way. And I couldn't be more thrilled that it's a great thing that Joe's our skipper.
Here's what I think is cool is that you, as the owner, could really, I know this is not the type of guy you are, but you could really be a dick to him, and still you could never be Steinbrenner. I mean, you'd be,
that's right,
you'd be fine. You could do anything you want and get away with it. He'd go, whatever, that's nothing.
Well, we have a little bit different approach, and that's not to say our approach is better or worse than anybody's, but we're very, it's a family approach on our end here. This is, the Dodgers are about family, and so Joe's part of the family now, and we don't feel that we need to yell and scream and make people nuts in order to achieve what we're going to achieve, which is a championship caliber team, a great experience for our fans, and we're going to continue to do the things that we can to give back to the community that so, you know, amazingly supports this franchise. And again, that's what Think Cure is about in the Coliseum Saturday. So I just believe firmly that we can achieve as a team the results we want to achieve without a lot of the histrionics. I think your families work things out. You know what I mean? They do things
that's
together.
Right, sure.
They come together as a team, and that's what we're trying to accomplish here.
Now, you're an East Coast guy yourself, right, Frank?
No more.
No more, right?
I can't even remember when I was there at this stage of the game. It's been such an amazing 3.5 years, but we consider ourselves Angelinos. But yes, of course, I was born and raised back east.
Yeah, a big adjustment moving from the Boston area. And I wonder what it's like for Joe. I mean, being essentially a lifelong New Yorker, as far as I know, and coming out and just Southern California being just night and day so different. Is he loving living out here, or do you think it's difficult for him?
Yeah, he really, really is loving it. I mean, it's, and he and I have talked about this, because the move from east to west, I think, is a lot easier than the reverse. It really is a tremendous, tremendous community. Everybody seems to be from somewhere else. It's a melting pot, very, very welcoming to people. We're just eternally grateful for how we've been received in the community. And keep in mind, Joe grew up in Brooklyn. He grew up a Dodger fan. That was his team. He went to Ebbets Field. So now he's actually donning the uniform of a team he rooted for as a kid. And that combined with the fact that Joe is a star, let's face it. I mean, in L.A. is about stars, and he fits very, very well in an environment like this because he's very, very sure of who he is as a human being, and he'll move very, very comfortably around L.A. And I've been with him and seen everybody's reaction, just as Jamie and I and my family were welcomed, he and Allie and his family are going to be welcomed, and he's very, very comfortable, and I think he's going to really feel the love on opening day, and it's going to be a great moment.
All right. Frank McCourt, chairman of the Los Angeles Dodgers, of course, big, big weekend with Dodgers versus Red Sox exhibition games, of course, tomorrow at Dodger Stadium, Saturday at the Coliseum with something like 115,000 baseball fans out there to see the game. It's going to be unbelievable. Then Sunday, the last preseason game at Dodger Stadium is going to be Sunday afternoon. And then it all starts for real on Monday. And I hope we're talking to you throughout the season, and I hope that the 20-year drought comes to an end with this franchise and the Los Angeles Dodgers make it happen.
From your lips to God's ears. Are you guys going to get out at all? Are you going to be out there this weekend?
I don't think so this week. Some of us are going to be there Friday and Saturday.
Well, I'd love to, catch up with you guys. And any time that you have a question or anything, don't hesitate to call. I love talking to you guys and catching up.
You're awesome, Frank McCourt. Thank you very much for talking to us.
Bye-bye.
Ryan.
Yes, sir.
How about you on the phone?
Yeah, how about me, man?
How about that?
I'm the lying liar who lies.
Yes, you are.
Well, actually, I'm in London, and they don't have daylight savings, so I got an hour behind, and I'm literally tucked in a doorway in the middle of Soho. I look like a criminal right now.
Excellent.
That's
a pretty good excuse if you're in London. I can understand how that could happen, sure.
Well, how are you guys?
We are good.
I've missed you.
Well, we appreciate that. We're glad to catch up with you because, we are such fans of your work, and I think I've been dying to talk to you about this movie, Stop Loss, that's coming out tomorrow because it looks like a little bit of a tough sell. This movie for some people. I mean, have Bill O'Reilly and Ann Coulter already come out and called you a communist?
Oh, I hope so. I haven't heard yet, but they don't have my number, so I'm not sure how that'll get to me. But, man, the thing about this movie is that it's got no agenda that way. It's really just about the soldiers, and that whole tough sell thing is attached to all the Iraq movies that have come out before, but ours is not boring, first of all.
Right.
And it's got, Channing Tatum and Joe Gordon-Levitt and Abby Cornish and myself, and it's got a lot more energy than I think those films had, and it really just is about the men and women coming back from this war. And
it's not really
about Hollywood telling people. There's nothing preachy about it. It's a pure story, I think.
Tell people, well, it seems like there could easily be a grudge here because of what Stop Loss is and why that's so difficult on our soldiers. Tell people what that is that don't know.
Well, it is essentially when the military stops the loss of active duty. So a guy signs up and serves his 5 years, whatever it is, 5-8 years, and then he's forced back into combat when he thinks he's about to get out.
So he comes home and he's like, all right, that's it, did my time.
Exactly, man, because these guys, they spend every waking moment over there just hoping to get back alive and get back to their loved ones and their, family and friends. And to have that taken away from you and being forced back to what is a hellhole, has got to be completely debilitating.
But let me ask you this, and I know the military has, rules, and they do have a contract that you sign when you become a soldier. You are obligated to pretty much go wherever it is they tell you to go. It's not like you get to choose whether you take the mission that they ask you to do, right?
Absolutely, but this is a case of a guy fulfilling that contract, and in the finest of print, and it's something that soldiers are only really kind of, it's happening to them and to their friends, so they know about it now, but it's been kept very quiet, and also... we did have at a certain point the president say that the war was over, that the mission was accomplished. And so that is supposed to be the reason why you can stop loss someone.
He may have been premature in that. I mean, maybe.
Yeah, I would say so.
Perhaps.
I would say so.
Now, I read in the calendar section of the LA Times today, there's an article on you and on the movie, and you were talking about speaking with and hanging out with a lot of soldiers. Where did you do that?
In Texas. They were smart. They put us with... six actual soldiers to go through the boot camp with the six actors, and these guys had just gotten back from Iraq. Some of them were still enlisted and just not actively deployed, and we spent a lot of time, and they spent time with us while we made the film. One of them became the trainer for the actors, and Kimberly Pierce, the director's brother, actually went over and signed up after 9/11, went to Iraq, and he was around the entire time. His best friend while he served was the inspiration for my character.
Oh, okay. Cool. Yeah, I was going to ask if there was a specific story of a guy that you were playing here. It sounds like maybe it's a little bit of that guy and then kind of a combination of stories that are told from a lot of different soldiers' points of view.
Yeah, it is. And I haven't spent time with any stop-loss soldiers, but I've talked to families of soldiers who have been stop-loss, and, you know, they're devastated. A guy has a wife and a child on the way, and the other thing is that it's such the violence in this war and the way it's being fought is so random and unpredictable that if you survive two tours,
right,
you feel like you've cheated death. And a lot of the soldiers refer to the third tour as the death tour, and that is the one that my character is being sent back for.
Oh, good.
And
that's what you want to go. You get called up to the death tour?
Yep, I did. That sucks.
But the film, in fact, is very pro-military, and the guys love the service and the bonds they form over there, and I think that's the heart of the film.
Sure, yeah. This is our friend Ryan Phillippe on the phone, by the way, calling us from London. His new film is called Stop Loss. It opens up tomorrow. This same L.A. Times article
got chased out of the doorway.
Oh, good. Oh, how about that? Are you doing a movie over there, or what are you doing, Ryan?
Yeah, I'm doing a little bit of press and then additional dialogue recording for the last film I did that's called Franklin.
Gotcha. I think it was also in the L.A. Times article this morning. They were talking about where'd you film the stuff that's doubling for Iraq? What country were you in?
It was Morocco.
In Morocco. Okay. And you were working with, like, busting into people's houses, and they were, I guess, kind of playing the actors of the Iraqis in it. And it said in the article that it was really tough for you to do those scenes. You really felt kind of bad and invasive about having to do some of that stuff to their homes.
Yeah, man, because also it was Ramadan, and, you know, if you know the Muslim count, I mean, Ramadan is essentially their Christmas. It's the most important holiday, and that's when we were doing those scenes and blowing things up right outside of apartment buildings. And, you know, sometimes it seemed to me the children that were in the area and they were using in the film seemed kind of scared. And, you know, it was kind of, you know, but
dude, you couldn't have waited a day?
Well,
I mean, come on.
You know, films, they go forward.
December 26th, not so bad, you know, but wow.
I wasn't calling those shots.
All right, all right.
Well, it looks like another great performance from you, Ryan. We always enjoy seeing you. And by the way, I don't know, I think we talked to you right before Breach came out, but we all ended up seeing that movie, and you were so great in that. That was such a great movie, man. Really.
Thanks so much, man. I appreciate that.
Terrific stuff. And it's always great to catch up with you. Stop Loss opens up everywhere tomorrow. Go see it with our pal Ryan Phillippe.
Yes,
and,
please see it. You will not be disappointed.
Good times. All right, man. Get back to work. Thanks for calling.
All right. Thanks a lot,
guys.
Thank
you. Bye now. It's Final Four time. I love it. I love the tournament. I love the NCAA basketball.
Not quite. You're a little ahead of yourself, but it is Sweet 16 time.
That's
and it is awfully exciting starting again up this afternoon. And we're thrilled to welcome back to the program Bill Plachke. He, of course, is the LA Times sports columnist who just must be loving this as much as we are. Hey, Bill, how are you, man?
Good. You know, I am loving it as much as you are. I mean, I stayed at the hotel with the West Virginia team. And my room is next door to West Virginia cheerleaders, and they were up to like 2 in the morning last night.
Good times.
What's the best way to listen through a wall? I was trying to figure that out. I think, is it an empty glass? I see it on TV. I don't know how to do that.
Hey, Bill, we totally want to talk to you, but your phone is breaking up so much that we'd like to hang up and call you right back.
All right, sounds good.
Okay, cool. We'll call you right back.
We'll do that, yeah.
We'll be able to understand what he's saying. He's staying next to the cheerleaders, for God's sake.
West Virginia cheerleaders in the room next door. That's pretty sweet. UCLA versus Western Kentucky, I guess, is the second game today on, if I have it correct, I think it starts 30 minutes after the early game starts. So it's probably going to be, around 7 o'clock or something like that for the Bruins game.
Did you see the Texas A&M game, UCLA?
No, I did not.
Oh, Russell Westbrook from UCLA stole the ball, came down with like 1 second left, and just slammed it home and started screaming. And it was really, really exciting. It was just an amazing end to a game, which they were up, I think, by 2 points at that point. But it was such a good game. Bill Plachke, you're back on the phone?
Yes, sir. Sorry about that.
There we go. Good.
Much better. Fantastic. As we were getting you back on the line, we were talking about UCLA and how dramatic this season has been, even though they were kind of favored by some people. I mean, a lot of people thought, you know, even going into the tournament that they were likely candidates to at least make it to the Final Four. But they've just been squeaking by or blowing out. That seems to be the only two MOs they have this year so far.
I mean, that's what's so cool about the tournament is that once you get to this stage, anybody can win. And because at the end of the day, they're just a bunch of college kids. I mean, that's what amazes me. And so UCLA, like, they're playing Western Kentucky tonight, and it should be a blowout. But you know what? The Bruins could get beat because at this time, again, you just don't know what kind of mood kids are going to be in. You don't know who's going to be hot, who's not going to be hot. It's just, it's crazy.
Is it less predictable than the professionals just because they're college age?
Yes, far less predictable. And it's funny because you realize it. You watch them on TV and you see them courtside and they look like, you know, big primetime athletes. Then you go in a locker room and you realize there are a bunch of kids wearing their father's suits, eating cheap box lunches. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
these are like 18-year-old children here. So that's what makes it completely unpredictable at the end of the day. And a kid may have gotten into a fight with a girlfriend. In fact, I had a story about in today's paper, which is amazing. So you're talking about Russell Westbrook making that signature dunk.
Amazing dunk, yeah.
It was an amazing finish. The next morning, he goes home to his house in Gardena and says, Dad, my shoot is not good. Let's go out and shoot. And they went out on Easter Sunday for 2 hours and shot in a park in Gardena. And this is a guy we just saw on national TV.
Wow.
That's what's so cool about this tournament. It's like our next-door neighbor's kids are playing in it.
Exactly, yeah. Now, I don't know much about this Western Kentucky, but they certainly are a team that has gotten hot at the right time and obviously beat who they needed to beat to get to this point. Are they a challenge? Does this concern you tonight, Bill?
Well, the only thing that people should look for is that they have – winning the tournament's all about having senior guards, because that's – these kids get in such a mental mess. It's so stressful that you need a senior guy holding the ball at the end of the game. And Western Kentucky has two really good senior guards. So that's what the only thing you usually have to worry about. But I think they can slow down. UCLA can slow down the game. They can play at their pace. The other thing to look for is Western Kentucky has the ugliest mascot in the history of mascots.
Oh, good. I like that.
Look for it. It's a huge red blob. It's horrendous. But the thing is, it would beat the living crap out of the UCLA mascot, that Bruin with the Hawaiian shirt.
Well,
it would beat him. But Western Kentucky has this awful wacko mascot.
UCLA does have the powder blue kind of, you know, faggy blue outfit. But
you know, it's a bear, and then he brings his girlfriend, the girlfriend bear, to the game.
Yeah. What's the red blob? What's it supposed to be?
We have no idea. Nobody has an idea. It's just called the red blob. It's really funny.
Western Kentucky, what's the team known as?
The Hilltoppers. They're the
Hilltoppers.
And I guess you couldn't really get a Hilltopper in there.
I
guess.
Now, UCLA is one of the teams that a lot of people are picking to win it all. Also, North Carolina, they play today.
Right.
Who do you think if you had to pick out of these 16? There's four games
thing. You know what? I think if UCLA is healthy, they can win it all. Remember, their forward, Richard Mbamute,
right,
has hurt his ankle, and he was around the last game. He's got to be healthy. If UCLA is healthy, they can win it all, but they need everybody, because the way they play, you know, they're not a very pretty team. This is not Showtime. This ain't the Lakers.
Right.
It's a team that comes and bangs and plays defense, and so they have to have, everybody has to be healthy, because they have one star, Kevin Love, but he's not really the guy on the team. Everybody has to contribute. So, yeah, if everybody, I think UCLA can win it. And you know what? UCLA better win it, because Kevin Love is leaving. Is their best player is leaving for this year. They're going to lose a couple other players in the NBA. That's the way it is in college basketball now. You got one good shot at it, and you got to take 3 or 4 years to get back there again.
So Kevin Love is going to the NBA?
Yes. I'm positive.
After his freshman year. Okay.
Yes.
By the way, Kevin brought up North Carolina. This is a game I'm really interested in, because I live in Seattle, obviously, and I've been following Washington State, but B, because they're such – talk about teams with totally different styles. I mean, North Carolina is just shooting machines. I mean, they score so much, and Washington State always wins those low-scoring games.
That's a great point. You know, you make a great point there. That's what this tournament's all about, matchups. That's why A&M almost beat UCLA. I think Washington State can beat North Carolina. I think it'll be a really close game just because of that, because they will slow it down. And North Carolina will have to walk around the court, and they're not used to that. And that's what happens. And so if you change the styles, that's why the teams that win can do one or two different styles. That's why UCLA, they can slow it down, or they have the athletes to also run. Washington State will slow it down, and we'll see if North Carolina can do that. I don't know. That's going to be a great game.
This is Bill Plachke on the line, the LA Times sports columnist, who's been writing about the Sweet 16 tournament going into the Elite Eight next weekend, and then the Final Four, of course. You can read all about it in the LA Times. Let me ask you about one more team, the one that has captured the imagination of America this season, and that's the little team called Davidson, I guess just outside Charlotte. Does it end for them tomorrow, or do they have skills?
I think they could beat Wisconsin. You know, I watched them this year. They played UCLA, and they led UCLA by 15 points. And it's late in the first half. So they're a pretty good team. I think they're good. And the thing about them is, I told you about earlier, they're all seniors. You know, when you go to Davidson, you know, ain't no Davidson players going to the NBA. So if you go to Davidson, you're staying there 4 or 5 years, right? They got a lot of guys who've been here 4 or 5 years because is there any place for them to go?
Right.
So they're experienced. Also, it's very cool they sing, their theme song is Sweet Caroline, which is that Neil Diamond song.
Yeah, that's right.
It makes no sense, which makes no sense at all, because that's the song of the Boston Red Sox as well. So it makes no sense, but they play it, and they dance to it, and it's very cool.
But,
oh, yeah, I'm really cheering for
but
them.
But do they have a red blob as a mascot?
No, they don't. I don't think they have a, I think it's a small Christian school. I don't think they have. I don't think mascots are allowed. I don't know if they have a mascot.
Okay,
just Jesus. I think Jesus is the only mascot.
It's the only one you need. What would he do? He'd probably hit a jumper.
He would. Yeah,
that's a good idea.
By the way,
it's so funny you talk about Davidson about how the players stay there. I just imagine a guy thinking, you know, he's a senior. He's finally got to get out. He's thinking, if I grow a mustache and change my name, maybe I could re-enroll. I can come back and play again next year as a freshman.
I'm sure that happens there. Those guys all go to businesses or become lawyers, but none of them ever become basketball players.
Four games today, four games tomorrow. You can watch them on CBS, or you can watch them on, I believe they're free online, right?
Yeah, they are. It's amazing. You have to, people over the country watch them online, and they're at night now. They're in a perfect time, perfect West Coast time, 4 o'clock
to
7 o'clock. Perfect.
Bill, it sounds like you're having the time of your life out there covering this, man. We're happy to have caught up with you.
I have a great time. Thanks for having me. Call me anytime, guys.
Thank you, Bill. We will.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Just saying. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's the Kevin Bean Show. At 8:57, the Leslie Nielsen Disaster Part 2 coming up just after the top of the hour.
Oh, he's going to be fine. I think we just caught him on a senior moment last time we had Mr. Nielsen on the program.
How about that basketball game? where are you? Dallas?
We'll see how that goes coming up here on K-Rock. Don't forget, by the way, you can still win tickets to see Eddie Vedder sold out at the Wiltern Theater. It is actually pretty simple. All you have to do is be caller 20, and we're going to be playing a Pearl Jam song for you between 10 and 11 here on K-Rock. It's called Daughter. When you hear it, be caller 20, win tickets to see Eddie Vedder, and then we may be calling you tomorrow to tell you you're going to New York City to see the band Pearl Jam in concert. So that's coming up. Time for the Showbiz Beat now. Here's Ralph.
When Jason Ray, the husband of Corinne Bailey Ray, was found dead earlier this week, there was speculation about what caused the death in the 31-year-old musician. Well, now the preliminary pathologist report is back, and their worst fears were realized. They believe that it has been an overdose of drugs that caused his death. Officers did arrest the 32-year-old man on suspicion of supplying controlled drugs to Jason just hours before his death. And before releasing him on bail, they are looking into further inquiries. However, the preliminary report, at least, shows that there was an overdose. There were no other signs of death, no trauma, no violence, no natural causes, no disease. So it leaves them pretty much with the only conclusion that he did overdose on drugs.
I'm sorry, Ralph, I came in late. Whose husband are we talking about
here? This is Jason Ray, 31-year-old musician. He was a saxophone player for a band called the Haggis Horns.
And not familiar with them.
And of
he's
course,
married to who, though?
That'd be Corinne Bailey Ray.
Could anyone hit the button? I mean,
I'm just.
Is there anyone over there?
Did
who has
you do the whole story just so that you could?
Yes,
it's a big story. You know, she's.
But
a very,
you covered it just so you could play.
Grammy award winning artist. I just thought it'd be interesting to talk about the death of her young
but
husband.
Would you have brought this up if it wasn't for my tape?
Probably not.
Okay, no. Here it is. Corinne Bailey Ray, an unforgettable moment with Corinne Bailey Ray.
Wow,
an Corinne Bailey Ray, an unforgettable moment with Let's do it again.
It's top notch gay. I'm going to say to you, it was worth it. It was worth doing the story to hear that tape again.
I can listen to that all day long.
Come on.
An unforgettable. That's the best.
Look, I know there's a lot of competition for this award, but I would like to nominate that as the all-time best Kevin tape.
Wow, that's saying
something.
More than Ducks fan, long time him?
I think like it more than that. Almost.
Really?
It's close. They're both so good. They're both A-pluses.
I just got back after 5 days in Miami for the Super Bowl, hungover, didn't know I was going to have to go.
Hold on.
Is that, so he doesn't, are you a regular Duck fan? You watch all the time him?
That's brilliant.
Don't get me wrong.
All right, we don't have time for this debate.
They're not going to want to share a bedroom pretty here soon these coming years.
We can schedule in some time tomorrow if you guys insist on this conversation.
You put it out there. That's number one. I'm just saying, think about the competition. You know,
I say Botchko over there.
All right.
Over there,
not anymore. Right?
Back to the showbiz. Now the showbiz.
Did you know when you were in the outside office, the second office, that being in the first office?
It's like picking a favorite child.
You wonder if he hadn't at the Eiffel Tower if photographers want. That one's a good one, too.
Just saying.
I have a language scrambler in my brain.
Kevin is to the English language as faggy blue is to mascots.
And let's not forget the tube of history, which we got this morning.
What about Rob?
I think that shoots. That's got a bullet. That's on the top 10 with a bullet.
Rob Durden.
Rob Durden.
Don't have time for this.
So
before you go shooting your mouth off, Bean, declaring one number one, just think about what you're dealing with here.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay,
it's too complex an issue for us to just casually make a decision. It's going to require some careful inspection.
Tube of history is what I'm saying. Yeah. I want to thank the listener who sent us the photographs of Dave, the King of Mexico, intently watching an event that he was talking about for weeks. When they had the Paley Center for Media Television Festival this year, he said, please, can I get tickets for the Gossip Girl evening so I can watch the cast and creators of Gossip Girl talk about one of my favorite TV shows? I'm dying to see it. I can't wait to hang on every word that they have to say.
He's going to go see... his favorite band, my favorite band, Rage Against the Machine. He was that excited. He gets out of his mind excited.
Yes.
And thank God that listener took
his
pictures.
And a listener was there and took photos of Dave throughout the event, sitting, texting.
Yeah. Not looking at all.
Not paying attention to the event, not listening to the speakers, not listening to the cast talk about what it's like to work on Gossip Girl, just sitting there, just texting his ass off.
Yep.
That's all he was doing.
Three different pictures of texting. We're going to have to put those up online.
Yeah, we will. You can see Dave in all his glory at his favorite TV shows event.
I like it. I like it. It's a hit. I think I'll keep watching it.
Yeah. Sadly, we won't get to see Scarlett Johansson on Broadway.
What?
Story is she's inches away from becoming this generation's Julie Andrews. She was supposed to do an updated version of The Sound of Music. And composer, director Andrew Lloyd Webber was very impressed with her work, said she was terrific, a natural star for the stage. However, at the last moment, Scarlett turned down the chance to star on the Broadway show, so we won't get
boobies
to see her. Now, that'd be a reason to go see Broadway.
Boobs.
That's too bad.
Yeah. I'd like to see your heels come alive with The Sound of Music.
Ah!
You know what I'm saying?
Nice melons.
I don't know what
I'd like to take her body and put it on her back and then hump her.
What sort of hooters you got there?
Psycho Mike was really defending that a couple of minutes ago off the air.
I'm sure he was.
I'm standing by that. That was great.
He stands by everything he does that's bad.
Hey, you stand by Faggy Blue.
Listen. No slight meant to any group, but for sports teams...
How could anyone feel slighted by you saying
I really
Faggy
didn't
Blue?
Mean it that way, but
how
for...
How could anyone take that?
But for sports teams, when you talk about, you know, Eagles, Panthers, that kind of stuff, you want to strike a little fear into the opponent.
Right.
Have you seen the color?
Yes, I would call
super powder light blue,
robin's egg blue,
but the effect
baby
on
blue,
the other team is less
blue.
Is less than scary. That's all I meant. Less than scary.
Sky blue?
No, doesn't say it.
There's a lot of,
but they don't say it right.
Adjectives.
All those adjectives you would use instead of that word because it's not politically correct. I meant no harm by that to anyone, except for the color of the UCLA mascot, which is pretty faggy. Back to you.
Dear God,
I'm just saying.
Oliver Stone's hard at work at a movie about our very own President George W. Bush. This is going to be good times.
Comedy?
I mentioned yesterday that Josh Brolin got the nod to star as Dub. His wife will be played by the lovely and talented Elizabeth Banks, one of my favorites. She is just smoking hot.
Yeah.
You can see her, I think, this summer? I don't know. I don't know when the new Kevin Smith movie's coming out, but she co-stars with... Seth Rogen.
It's catchy.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'm catching.
In Zach and Miri Make a Porno. She will be playing Laura Bush, and the parents of Dub have just been cast. James Cromwell, probably best known for his role as the farmer in Babe, will play George Herbert Walker Bush, and Ellen Burstyn has been tapped to play First Lady Barbara Bush. And Barbara Bush has never looked so attractive as when played by Ellen Burstyn. Should be an interesting film. Because you know that Oliver Stone, he makes Michael Moore look even-handed.
He does.
So this should be a very entertaining
He's
film.
In the press saying that he's not going to tell you his opinion of George W., that he's just going to have to
We're
try
gonna
and
We're
going
to have to try to sift through the film to try to pick up some sort of vague inclination.
Like he hasn't been out
the
in
president.
The press for 8 years talking about it.
Yeah.
But no.
We'll wait and see. Today's celebrity birthdays.
Quentin Tarantino, speaking of directors, he is 45 years old today. Singer Mariah Carey turns 38. And Fergie of the Black Eyed Peas is 33. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
There is no such thing as a UFO.
Don't spell in front of me, damn it.
How about a rain check?
Well, let's just stick to dinner.
Can you fly this plane and land it?
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Something's not right.
I know what you mean. Like that feeling that something's not right.
These men died for their country.
Send flowers to their bitches and hoes.
Oh, nice beaver.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
I just want to tell you both good luck. Good luck.
We're all counting on
you. I'm Lieutenant Frank Brebin, police squad.
Am I right, Kevin? If Leslie Nielsen is in the movie, you're going to the movie. Would
Absolutely.
You say that's accurate?
Yeah. Absolutely.
We are very excited to welcome our friend Leslie Nielsen back to the Kevin and Bean Show. Superhero Movie is his very latest, and it opens up everywhere tomorrow, Friday, March 28th. Leslie, welcome back, my friend. Mr. Nielsen.
Enjoy hearing you. I miss you.
I would like to apologize for that. That was my fault, Kevin. I didn't put you on.
Oh, is that you, Kevin?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't have you on the phone.
Oh, you're a fine fellow,
Thank
Kevin.
You.
I'm sorry to miss both of you.
Yeah, I kind of screwed up.
So, Leslie, how do you do it? How do you continue to make this kind of movie year after year, and you never get old? You're always the same Leslie Nielsen that we know and love, and you always deliver.
Insensitivity.
All right.
That's what it is. That's
wow.
You know, if you want to pick up on these things, keep your ears open because they don't come fast and furious.
Well, we've got a bright future ahead of us then if insensitivity is what it takes. We're good with that.
I don't know what you mean by that, Val.
Do you still like doing this sort of movie? I mean, you're the grandfather of the genre. You're the master of this sort of material. Do you still enjoy it?
Yes, indeed. But what I really enjoy is the making of the comedy. And so that's what is very, really very important there is the director, because the way that thing is going up on the screen is going to be his baby, and how it gets up there and who is looking where and doing what and doing something funny or doing something sad or whatever, that's going to be the director. And so, but you have to have the goods to provide him so he can make a selection. And so what I'm really saying is that there's a great deal of fun in doing this kind of stuff, but there's a lot better fun when people like David Zucker is directing them.
Now, I have more and more respect for you every time I hear other actors try and deliver the lines that you deliver, because they seem to be, for a lot of people, just impossible to pull off. You are the expert in them.
Well, that's very nice of you to say that. Do you do any work on honeymoons?
I don't know what that means.
Well, do you have to know what it means?
No.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I think I see what you're saying. Do you do any work on honeymoons?
Tell me what I said then, my God. That's going to be a first.
Wow. I think
the team on level 5. Look at that.
I think what you were saying, if I could be dead wrong about this, do you do any work on honeymoons, meaning that it's not work if it's that much fun and you're just enjoying it?
Well, that's okay by me.
All right, that's a good.
That wasn't it at all. Around. Okay,
that's good for you. What are some of the movies that you spoof in this particular movie?
What's that?
What are some of the movies that you spoof?
I don't know. I don't know because there's that much room. Well, I mean, of course, the Spider-Man is spoofed in the sense that it looks like Spider-Man, but it's really Dragonfly Man.
Sure.
But I don't think that there's anything else really spoofed that much. I don't even look for it myself now anymore, because it's just it is a style that is funny.
Yeah, I got you.
And,
that's
and
right.
David has got his finger on that pulse.
What about working with fellow Canadian actor Pam Anderson? Do you have scenes with her, Leslie?
Boy, you had to bring that up.
Yes.
My day was going really well.
What?
There was sadness in my day whatsoever.
What? What's that? What are you talking about?
Pam Anderson?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's... Well, you brought it up, and I realize that I'm lonely again.
Oh, I see.
What it is. Okay.
So you did work with her, and it was sweet. That's what you're saying.
No, I didn't do any work with her.
Okay,
isn't she a beautiful woman?
Right, she's hot. That's why you, as the star, should say, I need to have some kind of a makeout scene here.
Yeah, well, yeah, right, but that doesn't make any difference because there are too many greedy people, I think, around, and they steer her away from me.
They don't listen to you.
Yeah. See, I just see Leslie.
Just a minute, I got to get this in.
Yeah.
I happen to have a beautiful wife, you understand?
Oh, okay, yeah, that's what I meant.
I may be saying all of these things off the cuff, but my wife is something else.
Of course.
That's understood.
I won't tell you what it is, either.
No, that's absolutely understood. But you're in a movie with Pam Anderson. I think Kevin's right. I mean, I think you need to engineer a scene together. That's all I'm saying.
As an actor, not as a married man.
I think that's a very good idea.
Okay, all right.
So superhero movie opens up everywhere tomorrow. Leslie, are you slowing down at all? What are you, 82 now or something? You still seem to be working as hard as ever.
I'm working hard as ever at a number of things. But there are some things I quit quite a while ago.
Yeah.
I don't do that anymore.
I understand. I got you. even with your beautiful wife at home.
You picked that up pretty good,
man. All right. I'm very excited about this. Superhero movie is tomorrow in theaters, and we've been talking to Leslie Nielsen. Thank you, Leslie.
Thank you very much. Take it easy.
All right. Bye.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
Every morning at this time, you pick up the phone, give us a call toll-free, 1-800-520-1067. Get on the air and get a prize. Today, it's a pair of tickets to the Off-Road Expo at the Fairplex in Pomona. That's coming up April 4th, 5th, or 6th. Plus, we'll throw in the new Live Muse CD-DVD combo. Plus, you get to attend the screening of that on April Fool's Day at the Vista Theater.
All right, let's begin with Mikkel in Alhambra. Good morning, Mikkel.
What it do? All right, you guys got to go see that new Sarah Marshall movie from the guy who created the 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Have you seen it?
Oh, yeah. I got an advanced screening out in Sherman Oaks at the Arclight. It's pretty funny, but the best part about it is Mila Kunis finally shows her can.
Wow. No kidding.
I didn't know that.
Now I'm on board.
That's how they should be advertising.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I said. Those billboards just scribble on it ain't nothing. They should just put her cans up there, and that got me to go.
Now, she's the one, if I'm right, and maybe guys tell me if I'm not, she's the one who played Jackie on That 70s Show, right? That's what we're talking about here?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Okay. She's so hot.
She's very attractive. Now, how about Dave's girlfriend, Kristen Bell? How is she in the movie?
She's all right, but, I mean, the main focus, not only do they show her cans once, but about 3 or 4 times in a recurring picture in the movie.
We get it. It's a lot of cans.
It's awesome. I mean, that's the only part that's worth it. They also show a lot of sausage, the guy, the main character, but you try to avoid that.
Psycho Michael, go for that.
Yeah.
All right.
Sure, yeah. So, aside from the nudity, how's the movie? Funny?
Oh, it's pretty. It doesn't live up to 40-Year-Old Virgin or Superbad, but it's worth going to see.
How's Russell Brand, who plays the British rock star in the film? He's one of my favorite English comedians.
Oh, he's funny. He does justice to that part. He's really hilarious.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing him in the movie.
Does anyone show their cans?
And why did you leave with that?
Thank you for the call. By the way, not a sexier word in the English language than cans.
Cans. Speaking of cans, we were talking about Elizabeth Mitchell from Lost earlier because it was her birthday. We were talking about that. Apparently, she was in Gia with Angelina Jolie, HBO movie about the model.
Yes, she
and was. We just saw some video of the two of them getting naked and rolling around a chain link fence that you really need to find on the.
I'm sorry, I said chain link fence.
I did say chain link fence. Right. Yeah, they're rolling around. It makes it sexy, believe it or not. They're cans on a chain link fence.
I believe Angelina won a Golden Globe for her performance.
Yeah,
and you'll
two
see
Golden
why.
Globes.
All right,
you know what I'm saying.
Let's try Tina in Mission Hills. She's on line 5. I haven't heard about this one. Hi, Tina. What it do, niece?
Hey, what it do, nephew?
What's going on?
What it do, baby boo?
It's good. I'm all right.
I have been in the computer business, so he works on computers late in the evening. Right. It's not uncommon, but for some reason, the last couple 4 days, I keep hearing him laughing in there. So I go in, and each night I go in to discover he's on this website called punchedinthefacedotcom. Have you guys heard of that one?
I'm not familiar with that.
Punchedinthefacedotcom.
It's just as bad as, like, watching traffic video of accidents. But the punchedinthefacedotcom, it's different video clips of people getting punched in the face.
Is it funny punched in the face or, like, really...
Well, some of it looks, it's not fun to watch anybody get punched in the face or slapped in the head necessarily, but it includes, I think what drew him to it originally was, do you remember when Neil Armstrong punched that guy in the face for calling him a coward.
Yeah, the astronaut?
Buzz Aldrin.
Buzz Aldrin, right.
Yeah. Buzz Aldrin, I'm sorry, yeah. That astronaut. Well, I think that was what drew him originally to the site, and it's on that site, and you can watch that video clip.
Buzz?
But there's tons of other ones on there, and he's constantly laughing hysterically. He's addicted to it.
Does that worry you?
And hasn't stopped looking at it. Come again?
Does that worry you?
It does. Oh, I guess not as much as maybe if he were watching porn or something online.
Oh, porn is worse than violence? Is that what you're saying?
Porn is fine
punch
as well.
Punch in the face. That's fine. But no, don't look at naked women.
God forbid you see Mila Kunis' cans. All right. Thank you. Punchedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefacedinthefaced most craziest theory I've ever heard. I'd sooner believe that man faked landing on the moon than believe what Jason's going to try to tell us here. Jason, good morning. What it do?
Good morning. What it do, nephew, baby boo, and the crew?
What's going on?
What's going on? Do you watch the Gene Simmons show?
Family Jewels?
Sure.
Yes.
Family
Jewels. Very funny show.
A&E. Okay. Yeah. I sit around with my friends and we watch reality shows sometimes, and this and the Snoop Dogg show are so scripted. It's ridiculous.
I'm not a fan of the Snoop Dogg show. I love Snoop Dogg, but I'm not a fan of that show much.
No, I'm not, and that's totally scripted. But Gene Simmons, the scenarios that they get in, that is scripted, my man. It's scripted.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You're absolutely right.
They create those situations to put Gene in.
But they try to pass it off as though, you know, it's totally off the dome, off the ball. Like
yeah.
He takes his nephew out, or he takes his whatever he is out to the strip club and try to get him laid in Vegas. And it's just
okay,
whole,
so your complaint is just that it's too scripted. I apologize for the setup then, because when I looked up on the screen where you were calling, it said thinks Gene Simmons is gay is what it said originally. And I thought that's what you were going to call to tell us, is you thought he was gay.
No.
The show is gay.
Okay, yeah, the show is gay.
Well,
now I got
more thing,
it.
One more thing about websites real quick. I want to tell you about crack. Can I say the WH word on the air?
Whore?
W-H.
Yes, whore. Okay,
sure.
Cool. Have you heard of crackwhoreconfessions.com?
No, but I like the sound.
Sounds great.
Okay, crackwhoreconfessions.com is some dude. He's like scummy white trash dude, and he literally—it's not scripted. He picks up crack whores, and he videotapes them and does his thing with them online, and he literally gives them a crack pipe and has them hit the crack pipe.
Is it
all in?
Is it funny or sad? It sounds a little sad.
Funny, sad, and entertaining all in one.
This doesn't sound good to me. Sounds tragic.
It sounds
pathetic.
It sounds to me like something that I'll watch and laugh and then hate myself as I leave.
Sounds like bum fights.
Yeah,
to
sort
me.
Of. Yeah.
Just like the downtrodden being taken advantage of even more so.
Yeah.
Look, just drive through the 909. You don't even have to log on. Don't even worry about that.
Just look out your window.
All right. So that's where we're going to end today's show.
Sure. Good times.
Crack pipe whores or whatever that site
sure.
was called.
You do any work on honeymoons?
I want to thank all of our many, many guests on the program today, including Frank McCourt, the chairman and owner of the Los Angeles Dodgers. Of course, preseason baseball against the Red Sox this weekend. The season kicks off for real. The 50th anniversary of the Dodgers season in Dodgers in Los Angeles is Monday. And I want to thank all three of our Canadian actors for joining us on the show today. Tyler Labine is on Reaper, of course. That airs with a new episode tonight at 9 on the CW. I want to thank Ryan Phillippe for joining us. His film opens up tomorrow called Stop Loss. And thanks to the great Leslie Nielsen for joining us. Superhero movie also opens up tomorrow.
You're lumping Ryan Phillippe in with the Canadians?
He's from Philly, right?
He's from Newcastle, Delaware,
oh,
right outside Philly, yeah.
I wonder who the other – I thought we had three Canadians
I thought you would
on,
tell us, since you had three Canadians in mind. Maybe you'd tell
maybe
us who
I'm
they were.
I'm wrong about that.
Oh, yeah, the very Canadian Frank McCourt.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Of course.
Yeah.
He's Boston, that right. wasn't it. Mm. I wonder who I was thinking of that. I swear we had three Canadians on today, but I guess I'm dead wrong again.
Mm. Maybe you went through the tube of history and you met a Canadian
hey,
in there.
Don't turn it on me when he's bad.
Tube of history.
When he's bad, don't turn it on me.
Tube of history.
I accept your score.
Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean Show. Daryl Hammond will be here in studio. We've got the movie beat because it's Friday, so Ralph will tell you about all the new movies in the theaters. We have a talent agency for ugly people.
It's about time.
So if you're hideous and no one would ever think of putting you in a movie, there are roles for ugly people.
Maybe I can finally start getting some work in this town.
This is a talent agency that specializes in ugly people.
But when you think about it, every TV show or movie you've watched, it doesn't just have beautiful people
right.
in it.
I know.
Unless it's Cloverfield, in which case it does. But it also has regular people, and I guess somebody needs to be those people, too.
I don't think they're looking for regular, though. I think they're looking for ugly.
Okay.
So a lot of people probably fit that bill. We should maybe give them a call, but we'll tell you all about it tomorrow. And we're going to do the grand prize drawing to send somebody to New York to see Pearl Jam tomorrow morning at 7:20.
Fantastic. That's all tomorrow. Stick around for our friend Kat Corbett coming up next with 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock, including, as you know, she'll be playing a Pearl Jam song for us. She also has Flogging Molly, 3 Days Grace, Muse, Smashing Pumpkins, and more right after this on K-Rock.